while. But there aren't any experts. There is nobody who has spent the best part of, say, 20 or 30 years working in diplomacy or in academia who is charged with understanding or explaining the moment that we find ourselves in. The behaviour of Donald Trump is so unprecedented and unhinged that you can't put it through any traditional or conventional lens of analysis. The Chagos thing is a perfect example. I've got the quotes in front of me from Marco Rubio. Explaining why it was a bang-up deal and the president and him were completely behind it. Fast forward a few months and he's completely opposed to it. Where that leaves the rest of us, God only knows.
On your radio, on the LBC app and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, President Trump has called the UK's deal to hand over the Chagos Islands to Mauritius an act of great stupidity. He claims it benefits Russia and China and is proof the US needs to control Greenland for national security. The Trump administration has previously endorsed the UK's deal. The US House Speaker Mike Johnson is currently on his feet addressing politicians in Westminster.
I spoke to President Trump at length yesterday, and I told him that I really felt that my mission here, even though we planned this back in the fall, we didn't know how the events would develop over the last few days, but I told the President that I felt that my mission here today was to encourage our friends and help to calm the waters, so to speak, and I hope to do so. As the Prime Minister said yesterday, let us look to agreement, continue our dialogue, and find a resolution.
The government's now formally considering banning social media for under-16s in the UK. Raising the digital age of consent is one of the options being put forward to a consultation. MOT-style checks for water pipes and sewage works could become mandatory in England and Wales. Ministers are announcing plans for an overhaul of the industry, including a new watchdog to replace Ofwat. The Environment Secretary says the changes are a once-in-a-generation set of reforms, but the environmental campaigner Fergal Sharkey has told LBC they don't go far enough.
Sadly, it's not a white paper, it's a whitewash. Last week, 100,000 people in Kent could not even turn on their taps because there was no running water. Nothing in this white paper is going to deal with that. It is, and as I've begun to describe it today, it's DEFRA's version of invading Greenland, simply to divert attention away from the real issue. This privatisation of the water industry has colossally, spectacularly failed.
An announcement expected on whether China will be allowed to build the so-called mega embassy in London. Campaigners have raised concerns about national security and are promising to fight the plans if they're approved. And Brooklyn Pelt's Beckham has said that he doesn't wish to reconcile with his family. It's his first public comments addressing his reportedly strained relationship with his parents. Brooklyn has accused them of trying to ruin his relationship with his wife and controlling narrative in the press. Sir David and Lady Victoria are yet to comment. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 135 points at 10,060. The pound buys $1.34 and a euro 14. LBC weather, cloudy with patchy rain for most today. Widespread sunny spells will develop later. A high of 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Some brands sponsor athletes for the glory, but not Quaker. We're real food. So we sponsor Team GB for the real stuff, the ugly stuff. The 5 a.m. alarms, the blisters, bruises, goggle marks and mountains of sweaty laundry. Because we know that getting to greatness takes a delicious helping of ugliness. And my word, our porridge is ugly. Look at the state of it. Quaker. Deliciously real, deliciously ugly. Sponsor of Team GB.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
It is 3 minutes after 10 and you are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. I don't know, does this count as a misinformation? It probably does. I don't know how much coverage you've seen or read today of Donald Trump's ludicrous comments about the so-called Chagos Island deals. It's very unpopular with the usual sort of ignorant racists all over Twitter who don't understand anything or follow the facts or events. But you'd have thought on this occasion they might have actually double-checked what Donald Trump had to say about it at the time, or indeed what his Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, had to say about it all those many, many moons ago in... I don't like doing that. Hashtag checks notes or whatever it is. But May of 2025, May the 22nd, 2025. So just lest you are confused about what is going on, Donald Trump has made his enmity towards Europe and the United Kingdom crystal clear. His designs upon sovereignty for European territory are now visible from space. You either abandon your pathetic, mealy-mouthed support for the man, or you erect ever more ludicrous facades of fraudulence and stupidity in order to mask your own sense of humiliation and shame at having backed such an obvious wrong'un, and of course having been so obnoxious and so rude to the people who were pointing out what was to almost everybody honest, sensible and informed, blindingly obvious. So what he has done today is essentially hand weapons to useful idiots on this side of the Atlantic and say, please throw these at your own Prime Minister. Which means that the useful idiots on this side of the Atlantic throwing weapons at their own Prime Minister are latter-day Lord Haw-Haws. They are doing the bidding of a foreign leader who wishes us harm and ill. See it in the context of the United Kingdom, if you want, or see it in the context of Europe, which he has refused to rule out military force in the process of helping himself to land that he wants. So just because you might think that you're going mad, I will file this under...
Missed information.
Thank you, Emily. This is May the 22nd, 2025, and I'm mentioning it because apparently I'm the only person capable of remembering. Today, the United States welcomed the historic agreement between the United Kingdom and the Republic of Mauritius on the future of the British Indian Ocean Territory, specifically the Chagos Archipelago. We commend both the United Kingdom and Mauritius for their leadership, vision and commitment to ensure that Diego Garcia remains fully operational for the duration of the agreement. We look forward to working closely with both governments to strengthen our collaboration in support of regional peace and stability. Full stop, signed Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, Donald Trump's White House, May the 22nd, 2025. So why has he changed his course now? Answer, to get useful idiots to throw weapons at their own Prime Minister in acts of fairly obvious and blatant treachery. Okay? I have found today, for your delectation, the single most unhinged headline that I have had the misfortune of stumbling across in all my time commenting on the news, let alone simply the time assembling unhinged headlines for your delectation. You sort of think of Lord Haw-Haw as a mythical figure. You think of those Daily Mail front pages, hurrah for the brown shirts, the deep admiration of Hitler and his inner Nazi circle that was displayed by the owner of that newspaper, the grandfather of the current owner. And you open the pages of that organ and some others today, and you see how it happened. You see how you had people in this country in the 1930s shilling for our enemies, cheerleading for our enemies, expressing explicit admiration and praise for our enemies, or indeed for the equivalents of our enemies, their allies in our midst. Where Oswald Mosley once walked, today Nigel Farage goose steps. And there it is. I mean, these echoes of history, these reflections of the past are absolutely crystal clear, unless you don't want to see them. And the problem we've got is that, imagine this was a show that relied upon experts to explain things to us. We do occasionally, and we're very lucky to have a wonderful stable of experts, some of whom ring us unprompted and some of whom we reach out to on occasions when we need insights. But you can't ring anyone today. You can't ring anyone today. That's not a criticism of colleagues who will, of course, book experts to talk about this, but there aren't any. There are no experts who have spent 20 years preparing for this moment or understanding this moment. When you talk to Fiona Hill about what Russia has done to destabilize the West, you're talking to an expert, but that's in the rearview mirror now. She would not have been prepared for a moment when Donald Trump set his sights upon sovereign European territory. There are no experts who have spent their lives either preparing for this moment or studying the possible ramifications of actions like this. The European Union is under attack from the United States of America. At the moment, the attack is political, rhetorical, and economic. But when asked whether or not he would rule out the military, the President of the United States of America refused to reveal it. It's extraordinary. That is where we are today. The European Union, the European continent, forgive me, is under attack from a man who whose motivation, by his own account, which you can't rely on, of course, seems largely to be a complete misunderstanding of how maps work and fury that he wasn't given a Nobel Peace Prize for, as a reward for ending wars that he hasn't ended. That's where we are today. Find me the expert. You can find writers of fiction. Margaret Atwood probably would be able to provide us with some insights. George Orwell, where he's still with us, would probably be able to provide us with some insights. Even Suzanne Collins would probably have a few things to say about how societies like this operate and how these people rise to the top. But there are no experts. There's nobody who can talk to you about, with depth and substance, about the tension, about the peril of a United States setting its sights on European allies while, and remember, this is part of the process of flooding the zone, but flooding the zone doesn't mean it's not happening, while inviting war criminals to join the Board of Peace for Gaza, while inviting Vladimir Putin, whose interference in Western politics played immeasurable parts in both putting Donald Trump in the White House and inflicting Brexit upon our population. He is inviting Vladimir Putin, currently embarked upon an illegal invasion of European territory, to join a, quote, Board of Peace, end quotes. There's no expert you can book to talk about. Oh, remind me of the last time that a US president was acting against the interests of Europe and cozying up to Russian dictators. Cozying up to a Russian war criminal. Remind me of the last time. What happens usually when an American president sets his sights on European territory, alienates and insults European allies, and cozies up to war criminals and dictators who are the obvious and sworn enemies of Western interests? What? Run me through what the playbook says about America abandoning its NATO responsibilities. Hang on. When was the last time that an ally arrived in the White House and got insulted viciously by the President of the United States? When was the last time that happened on live television? When was the last time we stuck the cameras in front of that? All of this is true, by the way. None of this is opinion yet. If you're frightened by it, or unnerved by it, or slightly shocked by it, just take a moment to process. Everything I've said is simply true. Everything I've said is happening. He is refusing to rule out military action in Greenland. For the record, I don't think it will happen, but we'll get on to that. He is threatening, he is making war, both rhetorical, political and economic, against European allies. He is in the process of, or certainly looking likely to, completely abandon NATO responsibilities. And he is treating Vladimir Putin with much more respect and admiration than Volodymyr Zelensky, or for that matter, Keir Starmer, or Emmanuel Macron, let alone the Prime Minister of Norway, who he blames personally for the failure to give him the Nobel Peace Prize. There are no experts. It's extraordinary. And here's the thing about what I just said, my personal opinion that he is unlikely to deploy the military in Greenland, but I'm pretty sure I'd have said 2 months ago, he's unlikely to start blowing up boats in the sea with no evidence whatsoever that there are criminals aboard them. He's unlikely to start kidnapping foreign leaders and accusing them of drug trafficking while simultaneously pardoning another foreign leader from the same part of the world that has been convicted in an American court of drug trafficking. It's bonkers, right? There's no expert for that moment. We're joined now by the professor of jurisprudence from Harvard University. This has happened before, prof, hasn't it? When was the last time an American president pardoned an international drug trafficker while also arresting and kidnapping an international an alleged international drug trafficker? So he's pardoning the convicted one and he's kidnapping the alleged one. How does this normally play out? Well, James, I gotta tell you, I ain't never seen anything like this before. I don't know quite where that accent came from, but do bear with me, because it's never going to happen. Whether you've been pretty clear-eyed about how awful he is from the start, or whether you've been in danger of disappearing up his tailpipe, as many, many, many members of the UK media and political establishment have been, almost exactly the same ones that told you Brexit would be brilliant, Boris Johnson was a stand-up guy, Liz Truss was a financial genius, austerity was a necessary measure, almost all of the same people have been comforting, cheerleading, lauding Trump. And they now are reduced to either pretending or believing that there is a moment on the horizon when it will happen. Normality will be reimposed. He will back down. He will... the best essence of what I'm trying to describe is the people who would say, oh, don't worry about what he says, just focus on what he does. They don't say that anymore, because it was always a stupid thing to say. He does what he says he will do. He will do it if he thinks he can get away with it. In the first term, there were people in the White House, Fiona Hill among them, who would have stayed his hand. Also, some of the very, very senior members of administration who he has now turned on, like Henry VIII, because they would stay his hand. They would impose decency, or at least a semblance of decency or normality. They've gone. They've all gone. If he says it, he'll do it. He'll try to do it. And if he says he wants to do it, then he wants to do it. So I sit here now and say to you, with my fingers crossed behind my back, I don't think he'll deploy military force in Greenland. And I mean it. I don't think he will. But will he impose tariffs? Well, why wouldn't he? He's mad. He's definitely not mad, old the lefties said. No one's really making that argument anymore, except the person responsible for the most unhinged headline in the history of unhinged headlines, which is resplendent in the Daily Mail newspaper today, and which I must remember to share with you before close of play. But there aren't any experts, because there aren't any precedents, and there isn't any reason. I say that again for my own benefit, not yours. There aren't any experts, because there aren't any precedents, and there isn't any reason to unravel. You can't reason people out of positions that they haven't been reasoned into, but you can't reason your way through events that are entirely unreasonable. It's not even enough to chalk it up to Donald Trump's mental decline, to his narcissism, to his caprices, to his daddy issues. You can't even chalk it up to all of that, because it, as the Chagos Island stuff demonstrates today, he'll say one thing with his full chest on a Monday, and he can say the polar opposite on a Tuesday. And his cheerleaders and fans are reduced to going along with both of it. Both things. Oh, yes. Okay. Yes. Oh, no. So Farage today. Here you go. The Americans have woken up to the fact that they were lied to. They were told that the UK had no choice but to surrender the Chagos Islands. This was simply not true, and now they are angry with us. That's a lie. That's a blatant and obvious, treacherous lie. Taking up the invitation of a foreign leader who wishes us ill to throw grenades, to throw abuse at our own prime minister in support of a foreign regime. It's not an exaggeration. It's a statement of fact. What Farage probably does know, but you don't, is that Brexit and Boris Johnson played a huge part in the run-up to the Chagos deal that the UK government had no choice but to sign. And as Donald Trump said, via Marco Rubio, his Secretary of State, we commend both the United Kingdom and Mauritius for their leadership, vision and commitment to ensure that Diego Garcia remains fully operational for the duration of this agreement. If you think you can trust Nigel Farage, just have a little look at some of the stuff he said about Brexit, or Boris Johnson, or Liz Truss. So there aren't any experts, which is a great opportunity for populists and liars, for the biggest fraudsters and grifters of all, because when the experts don't know what to do, the people who are full of passionate intensity but absolutely awful sometimes move into the vacuum that's created. And that's where we are now. It's not going to happen. Donald Trump is not going to suddenly be overcome by the parameters of normality. Donald Trump is not suddenly going to start abiding by the international rules-based order. Donald Trump is not going to wake up tomorrow and recognize the importance of NATO, because it's important to world peace, not to him. It's not going to happen. This thing that everybody thinks will eventually happen, whether you are clear-eyed about who Donald Trump is and always has been, or whether you've been clinging to the ludicrous delusion that he's anything other than a hideous monster, both personally and politically. But it's not going to happen. That moment when he steps back from the madness can't happen, because the madness is the man. It's not going to happen. And do you know who is currently the biggest subscriber to the belief that it's going to happen? It's our Prime Minister, Sir Keir Starmer. There are criticisms galore to be made about him at the moment, but don't join in, or don't accept the invitation from a foreign leader who wishes us harm to throw traitorous weapons at him when you can simply throw truth bombs. Keir Starmer is betting the house on Donald Trump reverting, reversing, revising. Keir Starmer is betting the house on it happening. The climb down, the reimposition of normality, the return to the status quo, the primacy of the rules-based international order. Keir Starmer is betting everything, and we haven't got much to bet, to be honest with you, and it doesn't really matter what he does. All eyes now are on Europe, but it doesn't really matter what he does. He's betting everything on Donald Trump changing. On Donald Trump not continuing to prove that he is all of the things he constantly proves himself to be. Deeply dishonest, morally bankrupt, utterly corrupt. By his own account, amoral. By his own account, a serial sex offender. All of the things that should be a liar on a scale that almost brought insurrection to the street. Well, it did bring attempted insurrection to the streets of the United States, to the streets of Washington. There are no superlatives. There is no hyperbole to describe how awful he is. As with all of the most awful people in history, right back to the Roman Empire and beyond. We read books 100, 1,000 years later and marvel at how awful these people are, but we seem to divide when they're alive and ruling over us into people who can't see the wood for the trees and people who can't believe that everybody else can't see what's clear to them. There are no experts now, and it isn't going to happen. So what does Europe do? And I cannot see any scenario currently in which this is not the moment at which you abandon all hope that it's going to change and you act entirely in your own interests. So Europe now needs to come out against Donald Trump. Keir Starmer's involvement is probably irrelevant, which is a heartbreaking thing to say. It wouldn't have been without Brexit. And just look how quickly the people still clinging to the carcass of Brexit line up to amplify the interests of the foreign leader who wishes us harm. You think I'm exaggerating? Wait till you get to the most unhinged headline in history later in today's show. But what else does Europe do now but actually start treating the United States like an enemy and going all in the first instance, on a trade war? Because the only language that bullies understand, and this is the closest you're going to get to expertise on a day like today, the only language that bullies understand is aggression. Whether or not we have the leaders, whether we have the people, whether or not we have the will, I do not know. I glance to my right, I see Ursula von der Leyen speaking, and under the headline, "Time to build a new independent Europe." But I've been hearing words a little bit like that ever since it became clear that Trump was going to abandon Ukrainian interests upon the altar of his admiration for Vladimir Putin. Now is the time. Now is the time to act as if, not as if, to act because the United States is our enemy. It's the enemy of Europe. It's the enemy of the United Kingdom. It's the enemy of anything that stands in the way of Donald Trump's insatiable insanity and greed. And, I mean, how many times have we sat here and said, oh, well, that'll be it. That'll be the deal breaker. No one can hang on now. But here we are. That's my question for you. Ed Davey calling this morning for robust response. Yesterday I suggested it's easy to say that in opposition. It's much harder to do it in power. But as I look across the English Channel, as I look to the European Union, and as I listen to Donald Trump's increasingly unhinged, increasingly, it gets ever more unhinged. It's not going to happen. It's not going to go into reverse. He's not going to be overcome by sanity. He's not going to succumb to the rules of reason and rationality suddenly. So what do you do? You've got now to push back. You have to fight fire with fire. You have to outbully the bully, don't you? So who's right? That's the way it works as a phone-in, by the way. Keir Starmer still urging European allies not to bring out the bazooka, which is actually a phrase they use for a real trade instrument, while Ed Davey, the leader of the Liberal Democrats, is suggesting that now is the time to get the biggest guns of all out. So, who's right, Ed Davey or Keir Starmer? Is now the time for Europe to stand up and tell Donald Trump what's what? To push back, to hurt their own citizens in pursuit of the greater good economically? Or do we sit here continuing, as Keir Starmer seems determined to do, hoping that he'll change, hoping that it will happen, hoping that normality will be restored, hoping that tomorrow he won't be quite as mad as he was yesterday? Who's right, Ed Davey or Keir Starmer? And how do you greet the suggestion that Europe now has no choice but to fight Trump with fire, or at the very least with tariffs? Hit the numbers now, you will get through. 10:25 is the time. I've got other questions for you as well, but it's almost certainly time I stop talking.
LBC.
It might be cold outside, but things are really warming up at the Wren Winter Sale, with red-hot prices on our high-quality, fully-built kitchens and fitted bedrooms. Right now, there's up to 60% off fully-built kitchens and all bedroom units, plus up to 7 years interest-free credit, made for making you feel warm inside, whatever the weather. Wren, made for living. Visit your nearest Wren showroom. Offers apply when you buy 5 or more kitchen units or 3 or more bedroom units. Finance subject to status and minimum spend.
Go on, leave the never-ending laundry pile, quiet flat, and empty fridge at home. Hop on the train and go into the workplace zone with Southeastern. Whether you're heading in for a change of scene, to share ideas, or enjoy a lunchtime chat with your colleagues, with our great range of tickets, we've got the one to suit your commute. Buy yours now on our app or website and pay no booking fees. So, go on, go in.
Southeastern.
Hi, I'm Andrew from New Zealand and Australia travel specialist, Travel Essence. For a tailor-made holiday unlike any other, find your way to us. Our local knowledge saves you time and money, and our experience is your guarantee of quality. We are also members of ABTA and ATOL. Amazing journeys down under start at travelessence.co.uk.
When you go abroad, everyone knows the best way to make yourself understood is to just say everything in English, but louder.
4 beers, please, garçon!
If only there was a way that could work with your advertising campaign. Well, there is. And you're listening to it. Because when you amplify your advertising with radio, 40 million listeners every week get the message. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
James O'Brien on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Gordon Brown, as is often the case, puts it best. If Greenland marks the end of the world looking to the US for leadership, it has also become the moment for Europe and the democracies of the global south to lift their heads out of the sand. They and other democracies should now set out a new statement of values and rules that show how we will champion peace, stability and justice. As Starmer has argued, writes Gordon Brown, this now means reinvigorating for a new age and new challenges the enduring shared values on which the post-1945 institutions were founded. And he then provides a selection of options on how you might proceed. Still in Parliament, of course, or still in the House of Commons, Ed Davey, the leader of the Liberal Democrats, made similar points earlier this morning with Nick Ferrari.
It's like having a reality TV show host in the White House. This man is unhinged. And I think the only way you're going to deal with this person is realizing we need a different approach. And I think the Prime Minister's approach is been proven to be wrong, to be honest. We've had a year of this president. I think appeasing, fawning, trying to persuade him, just, I regret to say, I don't think it's worked. And I think you're going to have to stand up to him. And that's what we've been saying. He's a bully. We've got to work with our allies, as difficult as it is, and say no to Donald. The Europeans and others have said, look, if he does put tariffs on, we will regrettably look at retaliatory Travis. You know, we'll fight back. I mean, no one wants that. No one wants a trade war. You know, everyone loses. But we've got to stand up to him in those ways. And the Prime Minister has almost taken those off the table. And I think you've got to work with your partners. We need alternatives. That's why I've argued for, you know, a new UK-EU customs union, so we can grow our trade elsewhere if we have to see this protectionist president tearing up the rule book and putting tariffs on our industries.
Is there any argument at all against what Ed Davey and Gordon Brown are saying in very different ways? Now is the time to abandon all hope of a return to United States support for security in Europe, for the post-war settlement, for the rules-based international order, for international law, and to set our own course along with allies in Europe and southern economies. And if that is the case, what do we do first? I want to hear an argument about why, no, we should wait. Trump will come good. But I can't imagine that now coming. Even Daniel Hannan, the world's wrongest man, was posting yesterday about how Trump has, apparently yesterday, gone completely mad. Ignore all the evidence that's been on the table for his entire life. But hey-ho, I suppose, even a stopped clock. But it is just true, isn't it, now, what Ed Davey says, what Gordon Brown says. It is time to stop treating Trump like anything other than an enemy of our interests. And that's your phone in. Is it time to start treating Trump like an enemy? 03456060973. And by Trump, of course, I mean the United States of America in its current form. How does that even become a question when he is treating us like an enemy? I despair at the number of people in this country joining in, particularly with today's lies about Chagos, but I'm used to that. I'm used to it from journalists. I'm used to it from broadcasters. I'm certainly used to it from Nigel Farage. But how else do we navigate this moment, if not by treating Donald Trump like an enemy of Europe, of the United Kingdom, and of peace? 03456060973. Dominic Ellis has your headlines.
The US House Speaker said he wants to help calm the waters with the UK following President Trump's threats to annex Greenland. Mike Johnson's comments come despite Mr. Trump's threat of tariffs and criticism of Britain's Chagos Islands deal. The government is now formally considering banning social media for under-16s in the UK. Raising the digital age of consent is one of the options being put to a consultation. Ministers have set out what they're calling the biggest overhaul of the water industry in a generation. England and Wales will each have a single regulator with stronger powers to carry out inspections. LBC weather, cloudy with patchy rain for most through today. Some widespread sunny spells developing later, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC.
Quick question. Well, actually three, but they are quick. One, do you have a car? Two, are you looking to save on your car insurance? And three, do you have a Tesco club card? Well, if you do, you could get exclusive club card prices when you take out or renew a policy with Tesco car insurance. And with three levels of cover available, you can choose the one that's right for you. Over a million club card members are already saving money. So just search online for Tesco car insurance.
Go on, leave the never-ending laundry pile. Quiet flat and empty fridge at home. Hop on the train and go into the workplace zone with Southeastern. Whether you're heading in for a change of scene, to share ideas, or enjoy a lunchtime chat with your colleagues, with our great range of tickets, we've got the one to suit your commute. Buy yours now on our app or website and pay no booking fees. So, go on, go in.
Southeastern. With over 50 years' experience, at Fidelity, we believe there's a difference between investing and being invested. Investing is having access to guidance, tools, and expert insights. Being invested means feeling confident about your future. Investing is choosing from a wealth of investment options. Being invested means focusing on your long-term goals. For ISAs, pensions, or advice, be truly invested with Fidelity. Go to fidelity.co.uk. Your capital is at risk. Terms apply.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. HolidayParkAdviceCentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Hiya, Kenny the hamster here, proud pet of Doug and Carol. Hey, up. Looks like my mum Carol's off out with the girls again. I tell you, since she took that quick NHS Healthy Choices quiz, she's drinking less, but going out more. And to think, she thought being healthy would mean being boring. You might want to give it a go yourself.
Go, girlfriend!
Take your first little step to healthy. Search NHS Healthy Choices quiz to get a score and a simple plan to follow.
This is LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
10:34 is the time. This is the former Deputy Supreme Allied Commander of NATO in Europe, General Sir Richard Shirriff, who we've spoken to on this programme a few times. And while I stand by my observation that there are no experts now, I think the headline under which his article appears today is worth sharing with you. America is no longer our ally, but a predator and a bully. My message to Europe's leaders, stick together and prepare for war. That is a former Deputy Supreme Allied Commander of NATO in Europe. And that's my question to you. They're not quite prepared for war, but almost. Is it just blindingly obvious to you that now is the time for Europe and the UK to treat Donald Trump like the enemy he so, to many of us, clearly is and always has been? Michael is in Florida. Michael, what would you like to say?
Yeah, James, hello.
Hello.
A bit nervous.
I heard the acronyms the other day.
LTL, FTC, and I love the show.
Thank you very much. I just want to start with that. You're very kind.
I think appeasement, just to kind of distill it, is no longer the answer. I heard Finland Stube, I think it's pronounced.
Yeah, Alexander Stube.
On a dais today, giving an interview with, I believe it was David Ignatius of the New York Times, and I guess he poses himself as somewhat of a Trump whisperer, but I think, I find that this tack of trying to be refined around him and perhaps trying to appease him clearly doesn't work. And
it's frightening to accept that, though. I understand how it happens, because the breach is so violent that you'd much rather believe it's an aberration, or even 10 aberrations from normality or normalcy. And you cling to the notion that, don't worry, it will reimpose itself. Normality will reimpose itself. And I wonder sometimes, Michael, whether the harder you've worked to convince yourself that the last massive evidence of a violent breach was just an aberration, the harder it is next time, when another breach comes along, to accept that it was never an aberration at all. It's always been clear that this is.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point. And I heard a minister in Europe today quote an old Italian saying, which says, if you act like a sheep, the wolves will eat you. And I'm paraphrasing him, but Trump is a wolf. You know, I'm from New York originally, from his backyard essentially, and he's from Queens. He's a real estate guy.
Yeah.
I think he sees, in my opinion, for what it's worth, I think he thinks that this is like a land deal. It's ego politics for him. It's not geopolitics for him. I think he is increasingly weak here in the U.S. His polls are showing that.
Yeah.
He's a lame duck president. And I think the folks around him, particularly in his cabinet, they're just vying for power themselves. I see them as seeing him as weak as well. And they're looking out for themselves and what the future might portend for them. This guy's not going to be around forever.
No one is acting with integrity. We've got Mike Johnson here. We've taken him off your hands for a while, and he's delivering speeches about the importance of dialing things down. And that's what they do, is that they set fire to things and then tell everybody who's upset about the fires to just dial things down a bit and stop being so mean to the arsonists. And that's what we've been doing. Yeah, that's what Starmer did yesterday. How do you greet that, so that bold question that I asked? Is it time for Europe to start treating Donald Trump, and of course by association until at least the midterms, the United States of America, as an enemy, at least of our interests, if not of ourselves?
I think it's, I don't know, it's hard. I mean, I understand folks that are saying, take the diplomatic track, but I think, he's given you enough opportunities to say, hey, let's band together, let's draw a line in the sand, and I don't pretend to know all of the politics of the UK or the EU and all the instruments that they might be able to use, but certainly there's several bases there. There are trade policies that you can use. I think that there's sufficient instruments that you can use to say, hey, look, we don't agree with these policies. We're not just sheep. And you keep
threatening to hurt us, and you keep hurting us. We have eventually to conclude that it's time for us to start trying to hurt you. That seems to me to be close to obvious, and yet, as you explained so well, the lure of appeasement or the temptations of diplomacy are baked into our DNA since 1945. We haven't dealt with threats like this in Europe since then, not external or existential threats. And so I think we're not frightened, but just almost we've forgotten how to speak that language. Michael, thank you. Is it time to hit back? There you go. That's my nice monosyllable front page headline. Is it time to hit back? Six words. Took me 40 minutes to get there, but you can ring in and answer that question now. 0345 6060 973. And me being me, I want to know what hitting back looks like. Sean's in Coventry. Sean, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I don't think hitting back in the traditional sense makes obvious sense. I think, look, if you're someone like Trump, needs to feel like the idea of not doing this is his own idea.
But you're doing it again. You're waiting for it to happen.
No, well, I think what needs to happen is a close.
This is the same. I mean, we've heard this argument all the previous times when he hasn't changed. We've heard this argument about the insurrection. We've heard this argument about the election lies. We've heard this argument about Epstein. We've heard the argument a million times. And that, no, if we just wait, then he'll do the right thing. We've just got to be psychologically clever and make sure he thinks that it's his idea. It doesn't work, mate. How much more proof do you need? He's kidnapping presidents and accusing them of drug trafficking while pardoning a president convicted of drug trafficking.
Well, I think what you've got to do is it's about fracturing his ego, but behind closed doors. So you almost say, look, markets are going to wobble. So if in the short term, you're going to pursue the Greenland thing, right?
Markets wobble, Sean, and he says markets are not wobbling. I mean, he literally says the markets are the strongest they've ever been. He will tell people that the cost of their shopping has come down when they are looking at the receipts and it's gone up. Yeah. Listen, you are sounding perfectly on the money for what I'm trying to and failing to describe. That you can't let go of the idea that the normal rules can still somehow be brought to bear. And we have to let go of it now.
But essentially what I think should happen is a combined Europe says to him, okay, you pursue this, right? We're going to then start fast-tracking things like our defence manufacturing, which is already in Germany, France, and places like that.
When?
Our energy independence speeds up. And you essentially are going to... When do we do that?
Yeah.
We do
what are we going to do tomorrow?
Well, I think that's you're going to have to, right? Like,
it's not going to deliver. Germany's already ramped up its arms manufacture. Some people, and this is where experts, thank God, are still helpful, think that we underestimate the capability of Europe to step into the holes left in Ukraine by Donald Trump's, I'll say it out loud, by his essential support for Vladimir Putin, which we've seen with the invitation to him to join the peace board. I think you're demonstrating what I'm trying to articulate. I'm not there yet myself yet. I got to be honest with you. I'm still sitting here thinking, oh, no, that could never happen, or that could never happen. But we have to stop thinking that it will go back. It will revert. It will return. This must happen at every time, every regime that somehow comes to power via democracy. And a lot of the worst regimes in history did come to power via democracy and then lurch into dictatorship, fascism, totalitarianism, whatever you want to call it. These must be the moments, mustn't they, when everybody, both sensible and insensible people, and I must read you that Daniel Hannan post in a moment, speaking of insensible people. Sensible and insensible people think that this is a temporary step over the line, and that's another good analogy. And we will eventually step back over the line. He will eventually step... Oh, he stepped over that line, but he'll step back over it. He still lies about the 2020 election. He still lies about the events of January the 6th. He still pardons people who turned up that day with blood on their minds, the blood of elected American politicians. He still does all of these things, and we're still waiting for him to step back over the line and start behaving normally again. Mike Johnson in the House of Commons today, essentially saying, hey, come on, everybody relax, let's step back over the line together. And we step back over the line together, and we wake up next week and realise that Trump didn't. He's still on the other side of it, being outrageous, being disgusting, being illegal, being gross, being corrupt, being amoral. Extraordinary. And again, you know, I'm fairly, as you can tell, I've got my dander up this morning. I think I'm right, but I could be wrong. I just need to hear much more powerful arguments as to why we should carry on waiting for him to step back over the line and for normality to be somehow magically reimposed. And if it isn't, do we hit back? 0345 6060 973.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
Don't know about you, but I think this is happening. Trump is saying, I will 100% stick with tariffs. Trump is exposing the fact that Europe has become militarily, economically, almost totally reliant upon the United States. And this is what is being exposed. The continent of Europe would not be able to withstand a threat of tariffs from the President of the United States. As absolutely inconceivable as that may well have been, it is now a reality, a possibility.
Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4 p.m. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
At ulizprosperity.com, you buy the car and we pay you up to £600 per month in rental income. For conditions, visit ulizprosperity.com.
Big motoring world are big on value. But what does that mean for you? Well, we price check our cars every day so we can give you the best price. Guaranteed. In fact, 95% of our cars are priced below market value. Big Motoring World, we're big on value. See website for nearest store. Visit bigmotoringworld.co.uk or one of our stores for our price promise and terms and conditions.
Hannah entered the Omaze Million Pound House draw and won a £4 million house.
House, an actual house!
Paul won a house too.
That's insane.
Now you could be next when you enter by this Sunday at omaze.co.uk. Because one person is guaranteed to win a £5 million house in London with all the furniture and a quarter of £1 million just to help you settle in. Roger recently opened the door to a brand new future.
It's just a dream.
And this time, it could be you.
And here's the best part. You'll be supporting Alzheimer's Society.
So for your chance to win a luxury house in London worth £5 million, you must enter by this Sunday at omaze.co.uk. Over 18s only, no purchase necessary, conditions apply. £1 million charity donation.
Everything dinner at Ocado. Save on sausages, tinned tomatoes and get a great price on garlic. Then splurge on the fancy pasta. The kind you know you're pronouncing wrong, which means it must be good. Save and splurge at Ocado, the online supermarket. Select lines only, geographical restrictions, minimum spend and charges apply. Offers end 27th of Jan. Terms and offer info at ocado.com/terms.
The congestion charge helps to reduce traffic in central London. To ensure it remains effective while incentivising the switch to electric vehicles, electric cars will now be charged a 25% discounted rate of £13.50 rather than the new daily charge of £18. To receive the discount, electric cars must be registered on AutoPay. Further discounts are available for other electric vehicles. Search TfL AutoPay. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters.
This is LBC. Message James O'Brien on WhatsApp now on 0345 60 60 973.
And one of the great consequences of this world where there are no experts anymore, because Trump's behaviour is beyond expert analysis, is that we'd have no idea. We can't even... can we take an informed guess on what happens next? I don't know, but who on earth now still listens to this man and thinks, yeah, he's my guy. Yeah, I trust him. Yeah, what's not to like? I mean, to be still doing that now is... I mean, it's pitiable, isn't it? It's a place of such epic psychological shame, I suppose, let alone horror, that you almost want to give these people a cuddle. But people are still listening to this and thinking, yeah, he's all right. He's our guy. There's one columnist in the UK media who is listening to this and thinking, God, I'd much rather have that than an elected UK prime minister. And I'll share that with you shortly.
Well, I don't think they're going to push back too much. Look, we have to have it. They have to have this done. They can't protect it. Denmark, they're wonderful people. And I know the leaders are very good people, but they don't even go there. And, you know, because the boat went there 500 years ago and then left, that doesn't give you title to property. So we'll be talking about it with the various people. I've done more for NATO than anybody else. I don't think you'd have NATO right now. I got them to go 5% and pay as opposed to 2% and not pay. I've done more than any other American president for NATO by far. And we'll see how that goes. But Greenland is very important.
Have you invited President Putin to be a member of the Board of Peace?
Yeah, he's been invited.
Any response to President Macron saying he will not join the Board of Peace?
Oh, did he say that? Well, yeah. Nobody wants him because he's going to be out of office very soon. So, you know, that's all right. What I'll do is if they feel like Costco, I'll put a 200% tariff on his wines and champagnes and he'll join. But he doesn't have to join. If he said that, you're probably giving it to me a little bit differently. But if he actually did say that, but as you know, he's going to be out of office in a few months. I don't care about the Nobel Prize. First of all, a very fine woman felt that I deserved it and really wanted me to have the Nobel Prize, and I appreciate that. If anybody thinks that Norway doesn't control the Nobel Prize, they're just kidding. They have a board, but it's controlled by Norway, and I don't care what Norway says. But I really don't care about that. What I care about is saving lives, and I think I've saved tens of millions of lives. NATO's been warning Denmark for about 20 years now, longer than that, 25 years, they've been warning Denmark about the Russian threat. And it's not only Russia, it's also China. So we'll see what happens. But let's put it this way, it's going to be a very interesting Davos.
There are still people out there who listen to that and think, yeah, I definitely picked the right side. Except, of course, they don't listen to that and think, I definitely picked the right side. They listen to that and think, oh, my God. How on earth can I cover up the shame and the humiliation that I am now feeling? And there are often people who've spent their whole lives feeling humiliation and shame. It drives so much political opinion, particularly the more extreme political opinion, the political opinion that speaks to people who think that by hurting somebody else, they themselves will somehow one day feel better. But to listen to that, to deal with the situation that we're currently dealing with, and to write a column in a national newspaper, very well known still for its support for the Nazis and Oswald Mosley in the 1930s, to write under this headline, I'd take Trump, warts and all, over our complete and utter lawyer of a PM. Maybe the US buying Britain isn't such a crazy idea. And that is by a columnist called Dick Littlejohn, writing in the Daily Mail today, and bidding for a crown that was once worn by an Irishman, actually, called William Joyce, Lord Haw-Haw, who felt that Britain would be better off under Hitler, as indeed did the grandfather of Richard Littlejohn's boss over at the Daily Mail. Well, I mean, there is almost countless examples of extraordinariness here in such treacherous, hideous country, Britain-hating writing. But to be looking at what Donald Trump is doing now and thinking, yeah, I love it. I was definitely right to support him. He upsets all the right people, down with left, or whatever it is that goes on in what passes for his brain. Most of his columns historically, or certainly lots of his columns historically, about the state of Britain have been written from his house in the United States of America. So I suppose his loyalties have always been pretty clear. But I'm interested in this because your mum reads it, and your nan reads it. and the people in your life who hold opinions that have no bearing whatsoever on reality, whether they're about Brexit or Boris Johnson or Liz Truss or austerity. They get it from men like this. They get it from men like Dick Littlejohn. And I just one line to give you an example of how desperate the exercise now in pretending that you're not ashamed and humiliated has become. Obviously, sanctioning NATO allies is not, as the late Peter Cook remarked in other circumstances, any way to run a ballroom. But since Trump has taken a wrecking ball to the White House ballroom to remodel it in his own gaudy image, I shouldn't think that troubles him in the slightest. Does anyone want to have a go at explaining what that means? But if you're so desperate to pretend that you haven't made a terrible mistake by supporting Donald Trump, and if you're unfortunate enough to have written tons of columns, many of them, of course, from America, about why he's so wonderful and why you love him and why he's so great and why you don't care about the self-confessed sex offending or the lying about elections or the launching of violent insurrections or the pardoning of convicted drug traffickers while you're arresting or kidnapping another one, about the grabbing of women by the genitals, about the abuse of disabled journalists and the abuse of genuine military heroes, gold star families. If you've convinced you don't care yourself, you don't care, he's my guy, I love him, my scarf is tight, then what are you left with now? You either climb down, as Daniel Hannan has done, in equally humiliating fashion and pretend that this is a recent development, that Trump's only just emerged as the character that he has so clearly always been, or you start writing things like, obviously sanctioning NATO allies is not, as the late Peter Cook remarked in other circumstances, any way to run a ballroom. But since Trump has taken a wrecking ball to the White House ballroom to remodel it in his own gaudy image, I shouldn't think that troubles him in the slightest. Don't support your own prime minister. Don't support your own government. Don't support your own country. Support the foreign leader with the CV I've just described to you, with an absolutely obvious disdain for morality. Don't support your own leader. Support the foreign leader who wishes you harm. There's a word for that. I'd take Trump, warts and all, over our complete and utter lawyer of a PM. Maybe the US buying Britain isn't such a crazy idea. What I find most remarkable about that, because, I mean, it's par for the course for Dick, but it appears two pages after a former deputy supreme allied commander of NATO in Europe wrote in the same paper, America is no longer our ally, but a predator and a bully. My message to Europe's leaders, stick together and prepare for war. And Dick Littlejohn sees that on a page and thinks, General who? General Sir Richard Sheriff? Hang on a minute. I'll tell him what's what. I'll tell him why Donald Trump is not somebody that we should be. I don't know what I'm going to tell him, but I've got to write something by deadline today. I'm just going to write about Peter Cook and ballrooms and why I'd take Donald Trump over Keir Starmer any day of the year. Haw haw. Haw, 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 haw. And that's still being read by your mum and your granddad and quite probably your Uncle Keith. Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, in the last few minutes, was asked by Sky News.
Serious. And stop being complicit. It's time to stand tall and firm, have a backbone. I've seen this in the United States, the supine Congress playing both sides, you know, say one thing on a text or a tweet and another publicly.
Should
it's
you
time
have
to have principles. It's time to stand tall and strong.
Does that mean
it's time
to tariffs?
To stand united. You make that determination. I don't make that determination.
But when you say standing tall, what do you mean?
Just I can't take this complicity. People rolling over. I should have brought a bunch of knee pads for all the world leaders. I mean, handing out crowns and handing... I mean, this is pathetic. Nobel Prizes, they are being given away. I mean, it's just pathetic. And I hope people understand how pathetic they look on the world stage. I mean, at least from an American perspective, it's embarrassing.
So what should Europe
time
be doing?
The Europeans should decide for themselves what to do. But one thing they can't do is what they've been doing. And they've been playing. This guy's playing folks for fools. And it's embarrassing.
Europeans think this is diplomacy and this will ultimately work.
Oh, this is diplomacy with Donald Trump? He's a T-Rex. You mate with him or he devours you. One or the other.
And Europeans
being devoured? People need a salmon. No, the Europeans could be if they continue down this path and process. They need to stand tall, stand firm, stand united. Don't want that. Look, you said this a year ago, we should have been having this conversation, and they didn't. Okay? And now you're paying the price. Exactly what any one objective observer would have anticipated we'd be where we are today.
That is the Paul Kelso of Sky News talking to the governor of California. A little bit of a bit of an inside insight into the way the studio works. The beginning of that may have sounded a little bit odd to you. And the reason why the beginning of that sounded a little bit odd to you is because Keith, as you know, has a hair trigger on the dump button, lest I say anything that gets us into trouble, or you say anything that gets us into trouble, or naughty words somehow slip through the net on the program. And Keith thought that Gavin Newsom said a naughty right at the beginning of that interview. So he pressed the dump button, which means you didn't hear the first 5 seconds or so of the clip. So I'll just let you hear what Gavin Newsom actually said at the beginning of the clip, and you can work out for yourself what Keith thinks or thought that the governor of California just said to Sky News.
It's time to buck up. It's time to get serious. And stop being complicit.
It's time to buck up. It's time to get serious and to stop being complicit. Is that where we go next? Do we ask what bucking up looks like? Probably not necessarily in precisely that language, because Keith will have a coronary. But do we begin properly to examine what bucking up, what fighting back, what retaliating looks like? Are we ready now to do that? Do we know? I mean, it's easy, to be fair, for Gavin Newsom, an imperfect politician. They all are. For the avoidance of doubt, Keir Starmer is an imperfect politician. But to say that you'd rather have Donald Trump in charge of your own country than your own imperfect elected prime minister is about as close to treachery as I've seen in a British newspaper since Hurrah for the Black Shirts was on the front page of the Daily Mail. So what does fighting back look like?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
On Global's newsroom at 11 o'clock, the European Commission President has promised an unflinching and united response to Donald Trump over Greenland. The US President has doubled down on his threat to impose tariffs on NATO allies who oppose his plans to take the territory. Ursula von der Leyen has been speaking at the World Economic Forum in Davos. She says work's underway to increase security in the Arctic.
First principle, full solidarity with Greenland and the Kingdom of Denmark. The sovereignty and integrity of their territory is non-negotiable. Second, we're working on a massive European investment surge in Greenland to see how we can further support the local economy. Third, we will work with the United States and all partners on wider Arctic security.
President Trump has criticised Britain's deal to cede the Chagos Islands to Mauritius, calling it an act of great stupidity. He suggested it strengthens his argument to take over Greenland for national security. US House Speaker Mike Johnson has addressed politicians in Westminster in the past hour.
We've always been able to work through our differences calmly as friends, and we will continue to do that. I want to assure you this morning that that is still the case.
In other news this morning, the government's now formally considering banning social media for under-16s in the UK. Raising the digital age of consent is one of the options being put to a consultation. The leader of the Welsh Conservatives says he sacked a member of his shadow cabinet for plotting to defect to Reform UK. Darren Millar says James Evans had previously told him he'd rejected an approach from the party. Mr Evans is yet to respond. Ministers have set out what they're calling the biggest overhaul of the water industry in a generation. England and Wales will each have a single regulator with stronger powers to carry out inspections. But some environmental campaigners say the plans don't go far enough to hold firms to account. The rate of unemployment in the UK remained unchanged at 5.1% in the 3 months to November. Annual wage growth, excluding bonuses, it slowed slightly to 4.5%. And to bring you some breaking news, the government has approved plans for China's new embassy in London, despite criticism from MPs and campaigners over security implications. We'll have the very latest here on LBC. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 124 at 10,071. The pound buys $1.34 and a euro 14. LBC weather, cloudy with patchy rain for most through today. Widespread sunny spells will develop by the late afternoon. A high of 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
It is 4 minutes after 11. We may have a little bit more on that story that Dominic just broke for you in his news bulletin. The government approving plans for China's new mega embassy, super embassy, or just embassy, in London, despite criticism from MPs and campaigners over its security implications. These are questions very much potholing the road ahead, aren't they? If we are to detach ourselves from the post-world order and start treating the United States of America as the enemy that Donald Trump has clearly turned it into. I mean, I do this a lot. I, because I'm like you, I'm responding to the news as it happens. And the things that are huge that get subsumed. So at the moment, the Epstein stuff matters, by the way. When I put someone in Idiot's Corner yesterday for suggesting that we were falling into a trap by talking about other stuff, and I wondered afterwards whether that was entirely fair, but it was the idea that we were falling into a trap that gets you put into Idiot's Corner. There is some distraction going on. Trump is clearly keen that that story goes away. It isn't going to. We will return to it. If not today, then later this week. I think there's still 2 million documents that the president who promised to release all the documents hasn't released. And this is now in direct contravention of the pledge, the legislative demand that the DOJ, as far as I can tell, is now ignoring. So I might possibly give somebody a reprieve. Have we ever done reprieves on Idiot's Corner, Keith? I don't know if anyone's ever been given a pardon. I'm turning into Donald Trump. Can I give people pardons when they've been put into Idiot's Corner? I don't know. But anyway, that is true. But the stuff that you miss, or the stuff that doesn't get the attention it should get, because there is so much else going on, I think the king of that particular pile is Putin being invited to join the Gaza Board of Peace. And just pause for a moment to think about all of the conversations you've heard or that we've had since the illegal invasion of Ukraine by Vladimir Putin. An invasion, remember, that he thought would be over in a fortnight, in a 48-hour window. He thought it would be over in a weekend. And if it had been over in a weekend, he'd still be there now. It would be like Crimea. The West wouldn't have been able to do a great deal about it. Think of all the conversations that we've had, all of the coverage that we've had, those almost vanishingly rare moments of national unity where everybody kind of agreed. Even Boris Johnson managed to look statesmanlike for a while stressing his support for Ukraine and just hoping that nobody asked him about his friendships with KGB officers and disappearances into castles owned by them at key moments during his career as foreign secretary. Everybody agreed. You could see it in the refugee effort. A country that is devouring itself when it comes to asylum seekers and refugees suddenly found its conscience, found its heart when people fleeing the war in Ukraine needed shelter and needed looking after. Ukraine was, you know, about as close to a truly unifying issue that I can remember seeing in the last few years. And yes, we could have gone further and we could have done more, but pretty much everybody was on the same page, except, of course, Putin sympathisers. Nigel Farage being the politician that Farage admires most in the world, unless, of course, now he's been overtaken by Trump, given that Trump's enmity towards this country is becoming almost as clear as Vladimir Putin's. But Putin is going to sit, or has been invited to sit, on a board of peace that will begin by carving up the Gaza Strip and then move on to become a sort of rival or alternative to the United Nations membership of which involves paying $1 billion to Donald Trump and or his organisation. Because as Simon Marks explained to us yesterday, this would not end with his presidency. This is a body that would persist in the aftermath of his political career. So, I mean, it looks to all intents and purposes like an organisation designed to treat the world like one of those bombed-out parking lots that the NCP billionaires bought up in the aftermath of the Second World War. He'll just go around the world essentially helping himself to plots of land where he thinks profits can be made, all under the banner of peace. And Putin being invited to join it is a moment of extraordinary peril. And yet, like you, I've kind of filed it, moved on. I think, did I see yesterday that the president of Belarus had received a letter as well? I certainly saw a minister in the Belarusian administration claiming that they had a letter inviting them to join Donald Trump's so-called Board of Peace. I mean, this is, I know we overuse it, we probably need an Orwell bingo if Nick Abbott hasn't done it already. We should get a bingo sheet going of all the things happening now that George Orwell predicted would happen. But the bloke who is embarked upon an illegal war on European soil, the bloke who has illegally invaded a neighbour, the bloke who is a war criminal, according to any legal or historic or academic definition of the phrase, has been invited to join something that Donald Trump calls a Board of Peace to help oversee a ceasefire in Gaza, the likes of which Donald Trump promised yesterday or last year or 10 minutes ago or a week last Tuesday that he would somehow be visiting upon Ukraine. And these are the moments, you know, I don't want to go on about mad Daily Mail columnists, but these are the moments that people like Dick Littlejohn must just I pretend aren't happening. Oh, I'm a patriotic supporter of the British interests. Oh, how do you feel about a sworn enemy of British interests being invited to join an outwardly rather corrupt-looking outfit being set up by the bloke you think is brilliant? Oh, yeah, but we don't need to talk about that. Isn't Keir Starmer awful? Poof, he's such a lawyer. It's insane what's going on now. You know, don't laugh. There are mornings when I actually wonder what I don't work all this stuff out in the bath. I don't talk about this stuff at home with Mrs. O'Brien. I mean, what would we do if we didn't have each other? We couldn't actually reassure each other that we're not going mad. The Kremlin has announced that Vladimir Putin has been invited to join Donald Trump's Board of Peace. And Donald Trump, in that clip I played to you a few moments ago, confirmed it. The what? The who? The why? Oh, he must have apologised for Ukraine then. He must have withdrawn troops from Ukraine. He must have stopped killing innocent Ukrainians. He must have abandoned his warlike ambitions. He must have abandoned his land grab. He must have given back Crimea. No, he's not done any of those things, but he's going to sit on Donald Trump's Board of Peace if he ponies up $1 billion, which is reportedly the going rate. And that is a story that, well, you heard in the interview that Donald Trump gave. It was a bit of a throwaway question at the end, because we're talking about Greenland, inevitably and rightly. Absolutely extraordinary to reflect upon what is happening in plain sight under our nose. And you can't keep up, can you? You simply can't keep up. Nobody can keep up. So even, I hesitate to say this bit out loud because it's a little bit turkeys voting for Christmas, but if, as we suggested at the top of the last hour, the expertise is pointless here. There are no experts. You might find experts who can talk to you about one small facet. There's no expert on the planet who can talk to you about what the invitation issued to Vladimir Putin, a war criminal, to sit on a Board of Peace. Well, if the invitation had come from the leader of North Korea, or even perhaps the leader of China, you could just about get your head around it, but it's come from the President of the United States of America. Nobody's did a PhD on this. Nobody has a historical precedent for this. And it means that foreign policy analysis or journalism is pretty difficult to conduct as well. Because, how often can you sit here sighing, mopping your brow, picking your beard, and opining that everything's gone absolutely bonkers? But if you stop doing it, you stop looking up. If you stop doing it, you stop looking up at the meteor heading towards our planet. So you can't stop doing it. And you have to keep asking the questions that exist in the parameters of normality, even as you are chronicling epic abnormality. And that's the question, which you could be very easily forgiven for having forgotten, that I'm asking you now. Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, tells Europe to stand up to Trump. I, not for the first time, but possibly with the greatest appetite, am about to ask you what that looks like. Buck up, he said. Calm down, Keith. I wish I could see your heart rate at the moment. Can we set Keith's heart rate up on Blue Sky so that have you got it on your watch? Can you hook your watch up to Blue Sky? And every time we play that clip, well, we could start talking about the North Kent hunt as well. No, we better not. The governor of California is telling Europeans to buck up, to stand up, to fight back, to stop bending the knee. And by coincidence, I began today's programme by suggesting that it is absolutely the time and the place for that to happen too. And I haven't heard any meaningful arguments yet as to why that shouldn't happen. Daily Mail column suggesting that we should surrender to Donald Trump notwithstanding. I think I probably lean a little bit more to the former NATO head honcho, putting things in incredibly stark terms, reminding us what Winston Churchill said about people who feed crocodiles hoping that they'll be the last to be eaten, which is, I think, in retrospect, a little bit what we look like at the moment in the UK. But if Europe is going to fight back, what weapons do we have? And that might be an opportunity for expertise, actually, but I'm going to begin by asking you. 0345 60 60 973. Park the question of whether or not the time has come to fight Trump with fire, and tell me what that fire looks like. 0345 60 60 973. You can still have a little nibble at why it's necessary, or, of course, why it's not necessary. But working on the proviso that it is necessary and is something that we should be doing, what is it that bucking up would involve? 0345 60 60 973.
This is LBC.
If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, what you thought you were getting may not be what you ended up with. From unexpected site fee increases, running costs, a huge depreciation in value, many owners feel they've been missold. If you think this might be you, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive the compensation you're entitled to. Text ADVICE to 78900 to find out more. That's ADVICE to 78900.
Looking for a fixed passive income backed by real demand? With ulezprosperity.com, you buy the car, we rent it from you for a set period. You stay the legal owner and we pay you up to £600 per month in fixed rental income. No hassle, no maintenance, no tenants. It's a straightforward asset-backed rental agreement. Visit ulezprosperity.com for conditions and to learn more. That's ulezprosperity.com. Simple, steady, secure.
During the Air France rendezvous, take advantage of great offers. Whoa. Until the 27th of January, book your flight to Dubai from £399 or Hong Kong from £589, from London Heathrow via Paris, return including tax. And from the 29th of March, you can reach Paris and beyond with our new flights from London Gatwick. Elegance is a journey. Air France. To book and for terms and conditions, visit airfrance.co.uk.
And when teams feel supported, they can achieve anything.
Sorry, just had even more of my team are off ill.
Have you tried Benenden Health? It's easy to set up. They've got a GP helpline you can book 24/7.
Where were we?
A coffee break, hopefully.
Press play on your people's health with a wide range of healthcare services for less than £16 per employee per month. Search Benenden for Business. Fee review periodically. T's and C's apply. Qualifying periods apply for some services. UK only. Visit benenden.co.uk.
James O'Brien on LBC. Listen on your smart speaker. Just say, play LBC.
It's 18 minutes after 11. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC, where if we were to follow the governor of California's invitation to fight back against the president of the United States of America, and by we, I kind of mean Europe, and I'm not entirely sure what role the UK plays in that place anymore, let alone the process we're discussing. What would fighting back or bucking up actually look like? And I'm going to try very hard not to be impatient with you, because nobody knows the answer to this. It's all very well me picking holes in your arguments when I haven't got a better one myself. So if you catch me being a little bit prickly, then give me a nudge and I will, I'll give my head a wobble. I also don't want to frighten you off. Your answer is as good as anybody's. Who the flip knows? Who the buck knows what fighting back would look like? Because it's not something we've ever had to contemplate before, which takes me back to the dearth of expertise here. Well, here is an expert on how Europe can hurt America. There is no such thing as an expert on how Europe can hurt America, because it was not something that we ever contemplated having to do. Russia hurts America by helping Donald Trump get into the White House. Russia helps, I beg your pardon, Russia hurts America by helping Donald Trump get into the White House. Russia hurts Europe by getting Brexit through and supporting far-right organisations and running bot farms designed to turn us all into neighbour-hating racists. But Europe hurting America? What the hell does that look like? Fraser's in Glasgow. Fraser, what would you like to say?
Yeah, not just about Europe hurting America, but I have Europe hurting Trump on a personal level. Mm. Let's start with freezing his assets. He has... I mean, he has obviously assets, a couple of golf courses in Scotland, which one of which he basically stole the land from a poor farmer up in Aberdeenshire.
I don't mean, you can't say that. I'm familiar with the story.
This is part of the
problem with what you describe, and I am not being prickly. I'm being clear-eyed and robust. The law. I mean, under what possible law could we freeze Donald Trump's golf course?
Under what possible law? Well, he's making demands or going to make demands on European goods going to the US in terms of tariffs. And I don't believe this is
Parliament can pass laws. I just don't know where we'd stand on international law if we confiscated his golf courses as we've done with Russian oligarchs. But that was quite a long and complicated process. And people who should know better have, of course, in some cases, sided with Russian oligarchs against the British state in an attempt to protect some of their assets. But all right, I mean, I said I wouldn't be prickly, given that I can't come up with some very powerful answers myself. But I don't think that we hurt him through his golf courses. I don't know how it would happen legally. And, you know, again, we're back to the man-child. I think it's America that we have to be hitting, not just Donald Trump. I really do. I mean, I don't think it would land much of a punch on him at the moment, what you describe, even if it were feasible, which it probably isn't. 21 minutes after 11 is the time. From Glasgow to Luxembourg. Boris is there. Not that one. Boris, what would you like to say?
Hello, thanks very much for taking the call. I agree with your analysis that the point is not to hit Trump personally, financially, but to build up pressure within the United States in order to get him to change course. One of the most powerful institutions in the United States is, of course, the military-industrial complex, the Army itself. And the Army itself, when it comes to Europe, needs the operational basis that they've established throughout Europe since the end of the Second World War. In particular, there's a U.S. Air Force base in Ramstein, which is the head of the entire Air Force covering Europe as well as the Middle East. And then there's two military bases which are absolutely key for the Sixth Fleet in order to operate in the Mediterranean. That's in Naples and in Rota in Spain. Now, There's many people that immediately turn around and say, like, oh, my God, if these bases go away, we're not going to have any protection, and nobody's going to protect us. Now, I wrote my PhD on the military in the United States. What was their plans during the Cold War in order to use these bases? And under the Eisenhower administration, as well as under the Kennedy administration, as well as the Johnson administration, the military plan of these bases in Central Europe in case of a Soviet attack was to completely withdraw behind the Pyrenees and onto the British Isles and leave the entire Central Europe on for the Soviet Union to take. Now, if a president of Eisenhower, Kennedy, or Johnson was not willing to protect Central Europe against the Soviet Union, does anybody in their right mind believe that Trump is going to protect us in Europe against the Russia attack? The answer to that is no.
Which brings us back to the former Deputy Supreme Allied Commander of NATO in Europe and his contention this morning that America is no longer our ally but a predator and a bully. My message to Europe's leaders, stick together and prepare for war. And that involves, I mean, if we... You probably know more about this than I do, Boris, but if you look at sort of 18th and 19th century European history, loyalties were shifting all the time, weren't they? You could be fighting a war between two countries in the 20s, and by the 50s they'd be on the same side in another war against a different European power. We see it throughout history. We just forget, I think, in the post-war period what that looks like. But this is about treating the United States... moving the United States from the ally box into the enemy box, or at least into the threat box.
I would agree it's not yet an enemy. It's certainly into the threat box.
If somebody is a threat, you don't have the military cooperation or indeed the military presences on your own land that you've just reminded us of.
Absolutely, or at least you would be charging for it. The other misconception about these bases that many Americans have is that somehow the Americans are paying for all of this. Absolutely not true. Mm-hmm. These bases, the land, the infrastructure, the electricity, the water, the sewage, a lot of the security is provided for by the country where these bases are in. So the Americans get to station their troops in your country for absolutely free. Issue number one. Issue number two. Where do we Europeans strategically know the Soviet Union or Russia would drop its first nuclear bomb when they were to attack Europe? It is going to be on Rammstein. Right? That's the first thing you would take out. So you are targeting your own country, your own population, on behalf of somebody who's basically with Greenland showing you, I don't want you as an ally. So as you rightly say, he would not be providing these free bases to the United States without getting anything in return, certainly not from a president that calls himself a transactional president. Yeah. So if he wants to keep him, he better have to pay for it. The other thing that is minor is, of course, the pollution that happens in these bases. Many times, as happened in Spain, as well as in Greenland, nuclear bombs have gotten amiss, got dropped. The fuel gets burned, pollutes the air, as well as disrupts the entire civil aviation. So there's a real cost to having these military bases in our countries. And what's the benefit we are getting? We are not getting any protection from him from a possible attack by Russia.
These are big ifs, but who could realistically argue, let alone believe, that if Russia were to invade Poland, Trump would behave like an Eisenhower or a Kennedy?
Well, an Eisenhower, Kennedy would have withdrawn their troops from West Germany if the Soviet Union would have attacked behind the Pyrenees and across the channel. So if they would have behaved that way, I'm pretty sure that Trump is not going to be sitting there defending Europe with his own troops. He's going to withdraw these troops absolutely immediately. And having said that, we have to put the Russia threat into perspective. They are in a quagmire in the Ukraine for the last 4 years. And as long as Europe keeps them there, we are relatively safe from any surprise attack by Russia on the rest of Europe, which is a nasty policy we might be pursuing. We might not want to talk about in Europe among the politicians, but I'm pretty sure that this has occurred to many of the military planners in Europe.
You mean a form of containment, really?
Yeah, I mean, I think that behind closed doors in the European Union, the military planners are quite happy with the present status quo of bleeding Russia slowly dry at the expenses of Ukrainian blood. I mean, it's brutal, but it's realpolitik, which we are entering now with the United States anyway. So I don't see the threat from Russia on Europe within the next 5 years, as long as we continue bleeding them into Ukraine.
I presume you were awarded your PhD, Boris, at our shared alma mater.
Yes, Embracing a Dictatorship. It's still available on print, though, at outrageous prices.
Thank you very much indeed. It's 27 minutes after 11. As I said, there will be specific splinters, if you like, or jigsaw pieces that allow and admit expertise like Boris's. But nobody is going to be an expert on the whole jigsaw at the moment, because so many of the pieces are unprecedented. And you know, the United States being an enemy of Europe and a former supreme allied, deputy supreme allied commander of NATO in Europe, making that point, a predator and a bully. One thing missing from all of the conversation we've had today is the American interest, the US interest. Trump is not acting in the US interest. Gavin Newsom, it's all very well the governor of California telling us to buck up our ideas, but what are they doing in the United States? Crucially, what is the Republican Party doing to rein in this madman? And they're a bit like Dick Littlejohn in the Daily Mail. They can't now say, this is enough, we have to rein him in, because that would give... And these people are so pathetic and so driven by shame, humiliation, like these broken, frightened little boys inside them that they build these enormous survival personalities around in order to pretend that they're not broken and frightened all the time. The one thing they fear more than anything else is embarrassment. Humiliation. So these politicians in the United States, these columnists in the United Kingdom, cannot conceive of saying we made a terrible, terrible mistake. The people who think that we're idiots are right. We are idiots. We backed Trump. But there must be people in the Republican Party who are better than that, bigger than that. I just don't know who they are or indeed what they're doing, let alone what they might do should they were they to suddenly discover their cojones. It's coming up to 11:30. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. It's time to fight back. But what does that mean? Here's Dominic Ellis with your headlines.
The government has approved controversial plans for a huge Chinese embassy in London. Concerns have been raised that the site is too close to infrastructure critical to the UK's national security. The president of the European Commission says the EU stands in full solidarity with Greenland. Ursula von der Leyen has promised a united and proportional response to Donald Trump's threat of tariffs to NATO allies. And the leader of the Welsh Conservatives has said that he sacked one of his shadow cabinet members for talking to Reform UK about defecting. Darren Millar says the Senate member James Evans had previously told him that he'd rejected an approach from the party. LBC weather, cloudy with patchy rain for most, widespread sunny spells by the late afternoon, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC.
During the Air France rendezvous, take advantage of great offers. Until the 27th of January, book your flight to Dubai from £399 or Hong Kong from £589, from London Heathrow via Paris, return including tax. And from the 29th of March, you can reach Paris and beyond with our new flights from London Gatwick. Elegance is a journey. Air France. To book and for terms and conditions, visit airfrance.co.uk.
Quick question. Well, actually three, but they are quick. One, do you have a car? Two, are you looking to save on your car insurance? And three, do you have a Tesco club card? Well, if you do, you could get exclusive club card prices when you take out or renew a policy with Tesco car insurance. And with three levels of cover available, you can choose the one that's right for you. Over a million club card members are already saving money. So just search online for Tesco car insurance.
Across the country, thousands of drivers are feeling electric about switching to an EV, and here's why. They can go from London to Sheffield on a single charge that could cost around a fiver. They're ecstatic about that and the exhilarating feeling behind the wheel. Plus, with charging made simple at home, they're always ready for the drive ahead. I can see why they're into it. Switch to an EV and get that electric feeling. Costs and range dependent on tariffs, model and driving habits. For full details, visit gov.uk/cleanenergy.
Chase is the digital bank you can count on.
How so?
Because you get 1% cash back on your grocery shop.
Like on prosciutto?
Yeah, prosciutto.
And seaweed crackers?
Sure, those two.
Oh, hang on, what about rotisserie chickens?
If it's in your grocery shop, Chase has got your cash back.
Join today and get 1% cash back on debit card spending on groceries, fuel and everyday transport. Chase, see what your money can do. 18 plus UK residents eligibility applies. 1% cash back for your first year. Maximum £15 per month. Exceptions apply.
Calling all young creatives. It's time to get prepped for the art and design industry. And where better than Global Academy? Here's Keo, an art and design student in year 12.
As an art student, we get the chance to work on our own pieces, either in the studio or using the digital software. Some of my work has also been shown in galleries. And last week, I got the chance to attend a design agency to learn more about my future career.
Global Academy. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12. GlobalAcademy.com.
This is LBC. Message James O'Brien on WhatsApp now on 0345 6060973.
It is 33 minutes after 11 and you're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. I mean, again, I keep circling back to that Putin angle. And of course, we've missed a bit. I told you that, didn't I? I said to you, no one can keep up with everything. But of course, Vladimir Putin has been invited to join Trump's board, so-called board of peace, that what you could simply describe as carve up the world corporation. I don't know whether Tony Blair's hubristic self-regard is such that he would agree to join, but Starmer is reportedly not going to sign up to it, not least because Putin is potentially going to be sitting next to him at the table. Emmanuel Macron has made it clear that he's got no intention to accept the place that he's been offered. I love that clip of Trump saying he doesn't care. I don't care about the Nobel Prize. And then speaking uninterrupted about how much he cares about the Nobel Prize. Actually, just clip that bit up, will you? That bit where, starting from when he says he doesn't care about the Nobel Prize, and then he essentially tattoos across his own forehead, I really, really care about the Nobel Prize. And it is yet more evidence of just how pathetic he is. But of course, his personal patheticness is no guard against what he can do with the reins of power that he holds. But when you say to him, why do you need Greenland again? And he says, because Vladimir Putin is such a threat. And then you say, who have you just invited to sit on your board of peace? And he says, Vladimir Putin. That might not be the most hypocritical thing you've ever heard in your life. You know, you could probably make a case to say, well, world leaders, something, something, Lord Hoare, something, something. But the absolute absence of clear analysis now, because nobody knows which way to face. What do we talk about next? Greenland? Epstein? Trump? That what? Putin? Gaza? Oh, I mean, Netanyahu? It's not a name I've mentioned on the program recently, but somebody soon is going to have to put together an account of how allowing Israel to commit countless breaches of international law without facing any sanction from the West plays a part in what Trump is now doing and what Trump is now contemplating. I kind of struggle between the two positions where you're pointing out the diplomatic hypocrisies and you're pointing out the personal flaws. But anyway, just for amusement factor on the question of what on earth we can do to fight against him. I listened to that little clip of the Nobel Peace Prize where he goes, oh no, I don't care about the Nobel Peace Prize, and then makes it absolutely clear that he cares passionately, passionately about the Nobel Peace Prize. Because that's the thing about these people, that are defined by shame, that are defined by shame and humiliation. Hurt people, hurt people. It's the therapist's mantra. And to think that you can make yourself feel better by hurting other people is the great mark of the hurt people who hurt people. And the thing that they do, the things that they cling to try to dilute or ameliorate the shame are these baubles. I'll get very rich. I'll get very powerful. I'll get a column in the Daily Mail. I'll get a Nobel Prize and I'll feel better tomorrow. I'll do something horrible. I'll have an insurrection and I'll feel better tomorrow. I'll hate myself less. I'll be less hurt. It never, ever, ever works. It never works. And that's how they end up sounding as pathetic as Trump did when he claimed he didn't care about the Nobel Prize. Back to the question of what on earth we can do. Barry's in Newport with a suggestion. Barry, what is it?
Good morning, James.
Hello, Barry.
Just thinking more widely about some of the bargaining chips that Europe and in particular the European Union may have, there is a football World Cup.
Yeah, I quite like this, you know.
In the US.
Yeah.
And set aside a second the growth and strength of African football, the World Cup is essentially the best European teams versus Argentina and Brazil. A boycott of the World Cup by Europe and European teams would blow a meteoric hole in that World Cup. And this is an event that will be marked and circled in Trump's calendar, where he will be front and center on the world stage. And I just think it's a lever that, you know, is coming increasingly into sight.
Stranger things have happened. The United States boycotted the Moscow Olympics. We mentioned this yesterday, and I was thinking about it after the show. Would American people care enough? I know that the women's team have made soccer, as they insist on calling it, much more popular in America, in the United States, than it was when we were lads. But would it be a massive insult to the, would the American people feel it as keenly? We're projecting, because we're imagining if we were hosting the World Cup and somebody boycotted it, that would feel enormous to us, because we'd all be focusing and loving the World Cup. But would it feel that way in the United States?
My sense is, from a sporting perspective, the American people wouldn't feel it in any dramatic fashion. However, you have cities, stadiums, hotels, hospitality businesses, absolutely banking on the influx of tourism and fans coming into the city. On top of that, you know, America is the ultimate consumer-led economy. The corporate deals, the sponsorships, TV deals that are all hinging off this is vast. So whilst not particularly in a sporting sense, the wider economic impact, I think, is potentially extremely significant. And there's also the aspect of
the personal humiliation for him. He goes from getting given a made-up award by the head of FIFA, but remember, he doesn't care about the Nobel Peace Prize, but he'll do a lap of honour with something that the head of FIFA has made out of papier-mâché in the White House toilet 10 minutes before presenting it to him. And that then being withdrawn, it would be an epic humiliation.
Absolutely.
But a couple of MPs have called for England and Scotland, as well as Wales or Northern Ireland, if they qualify. Fingers crossed, Barry. Should pull out of the tournament. Sorry, not if, when. Calling for it. I think that this particular suggestion might get a little bit louder as we move forward. And I can see that it would be effective, but would it really, in the great scheme of things, offer up a counter to some of the things he's contemplating and saying that he'd do?
I think it's part of the jigsaw. Clearly, in and of itself, it's not the only. I don't think it would be enough to move the dial massively. I mean, the other thing I think is likely to emerge more in the next weeks and months is, you know, a boycott, whether it be from an economic perspective, in terms of products and services from the US. Mm. And, you know, one can only assume that tourism to America is already being hugely affected by, you know, the...
Yes, the in the way that Tesla car sales went off a bit of a cliff and continue to do so, of course. So people do vote with their feet. I think if I were contemplating a trip to the United States to watch any of the World Cup, I'd be putting it on ice for a whole bunch of reasons. But I can't be the only one who feels that way any more than Barry. It feels very unfair on Scotland, of course, but they were planning to boycott it anyway after the first three games. Here is the audio of Donald Trump proving beyond any reasonable doubt that he does not care about the Nobel Prize.
I don't care about the Nobel Prize. First of all, a very fine woman felt that I deserved it and really wanted me to have the Nobel Prize, and I appreciate that. If anybody thinks that Norway doesn't control the Nobel Prize, they're just kidding. They have a board, but it's controlled by Norway, and I don't care what Norway says. But I really don't care about that. What I care about is saving lives. And I think I've saved tens of millions of lives.
Tens of millions of lives, okay. Go on, tell us again how much you don't care about the Nobel Prize.
I don't care about the Nobel Prize. First of all, a very fine woman felt that I deserved it and really wanted me to have the Nobel Prize, and I appreciate that. If anybody thinks that Norway doesn't control the Nobel Prize, they're just kidding. They have a board, but it's controlled by Norway, and I don't care what Norway says. But I really don't care about that. What I care about is saving lives, and I think I've saved tens of millions of lives.
He's such a freak, isn't he? She didn't give him the Nobel Prize. It's hilarious, that. I mean, first of all, he clearly couldn't remember Maria Corina Machado's name. But if I gave you the trophy I got when I won Celebrity Mastermind, or I gave you my political book of the year, this is just an opportunity for me to boast, or I gave you my television and radio industry broadcaster of the year, if I gave you all of the contents of, I'd like to say my mantelpiece, but Mrs. O'Brien's far too tasteful to allow me to display these things anywhere in public. If I gave you the contents of my bottom office desk drawer, would you then become the actual winner of the things that I won? Would you become... I mean, it's simultaneously hilarious, insane and pathetic. She gave me, the woman whose name I can't remember, gave me her Nobel Prize. She gave you the medal, mate. I'm fairly confident she didn't give you the £1 million that goes with it, or the $800,000+ or thereabouts. She gave me the Nobel Prize. Oh, yeah. Oh, but also, I don't care about it. I do not care about it. But I got to pretend that she gave it to me because I don't care about it. I don't care about the Nobel Prize. What's the classic trope in this kind of field where someone claims they don't care about something but obviously does? Isn't there? There's a meme, isn't there? Or anyway, back to the question. What does bucking up look like? Margaret's in Cardiff. Margaret, what would you like to say?
Hi, Jane.
Hello,
Margaret. I liked the suggestions from your last caller.
Yes, me too.
And I had thought of it. I think you're right, and what would it mean to Americans? Maybe not a lot, except if FIFA decided to award the American dates to Canada and Mexico, I think that would not go down very well.
So they just removed the United States from the equation?
Yeah.
That's probably feasible, isn't it? I mean, a lot of flying around, but to be honest, that's going to be happening anyway, isn't it?
Yeah. But that wasn't what I called up for. What I was saying was that one thing we could do, it's probably not very good for us either, but we could sell our US bonds holdings.
I don't understand this. You're not the first person to suggest this. Can you explain it to... Can you pretend I'm an idiot? You don't need
to
pretend.
I don't understand it massively myself.
Right.
But there have been various people who have...
What's that? There's an alarm going off, Margaret. Margaret! There's an alarm going off. What was that? What was it?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, Lord. That's even more worrying. But that is something we've both heard as a meaningful way to give his head a wobble.
Yes, it is. So that's a possibility. One thing I do think that we should revisit is putting a tax on the digital companies.
Yes.
Because we were going to do it, and then we backed off when Trump went doolally over. Not reciprocal tariffs, but tariffs of any kind, when he was doing his, I'm going to tax the world thing. So I think that we could maybe revisit that. It obviously wouldn't be popular with him, but to be honest, nothing is going to be popular with him because he is...
Well, and we want that, though. Except today's he is and tomorrow he isn't. He can be miserably unhappy and claim that he's really, really happy. I'm trying to do it, aren't I? I'm implying the lens of normality to something that is entirely abnormal. I like that idea. In the absence of an expert who can explain to us exactly the role that the bond markets play, and indeed the fact that the dollar is the default currency around the world, that's a man-made institution. That's something that can be undone. It's as if, and I use this phrase a lot during Brexit, and it's had a bit of a holiday in recent years, but American supremacy, superiority, hegemony is so baked into our way of life in the West, in Europe, in the United Kingdom, so utterly baked in, that trying to remove it feels a bit like trying to get the eggs out of a baked cake. Now, I used that in the context of Brexit to highlight what a stupid idea it was. But if you actually had to get the eggs out of the baked cake, if you actually had to reduce, dilute, remove American dominance, supremacy, superiority, hegemony from the European model, then you'd have to try. And I'm breaking rules all over the place this morning. Normally, if someone cites the ghost of Winston Churchill, I accuse them of laziness. It seems to me to be a bit too easy. We need a Churchill, especially when you're bringing Chamberlain into it on the other side of the argument. Probably a man who is rather more sinned against than sinning in the context of history and what was known at the time and what he did at the time, as opposed to what became clear consequently. But Churchill was really flying in the face of public opinion when he was talking about the Nazi threat. This is my understanding, which is, you know, not completely bogus. Plenty of people in the establishment. It's astonishing how history gets rewritten, not just the Daily Mail, who were very sympathetic to Nazis in much the same way that their star columnist today is expressing a desire to see the British Prime Minister, the elected British Prime Minister, disappear under the jackboot of the US President. But you also had plenty of aristocrats. It's what Remains of the Day is about. A lot of establishment figures who quite like the look of what the Nazis were doing. Supremely comfortable even with the anti-Semitism. It was only really the notion of imperial ambition in continental Europe and beyond, i.e. us, that scared the horses. And even that didn't scare all the horses, because just as Dick Littlejohn writes today about how he'd prefer Trump to Starmer, so there were plenty of people in the 1930s and even the 1940s in the United Kingdom who were quite open about the fact that they'd have preferred Hitler to Chamberlain or latterly, of course, Churchill. And there literally was. And here we are, wondering what on earth we can do to fight back. We need a Machiavelli, suggests Andrew. We need a Churchill. We need someone who does what the NATO bloke has done today and just simply smash the glass and sound the alarm and say, this is about as serious as it's possible to be. And that, of course, opens the door to the question I've been asking this hour, which is, all right then, the fire alarm is going off. What the hell do we do? And short of boycotting the World Cup, and with respect to Margaret, neither of us are qualified to really go much further than saying something to do with bonds, treasury bonds. Boycotting the World Cup, something to do with treasury bonds. And even, it's a pretty paltry list this, even somehow try and hurt him via his golf courses in Scotland. What the United Kingdom can do, what Europe can do, what the hell can we do? It's 10 to 12.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Straight to Sir Ed Davey, who of course is leader of the Liberal Democrats. The reviews for Sir Keir's work yesterday are a bit mixed. How would you characterise what we heard almost a day ago, Sir Ed?
I think you just have to accept it. It's like having a reality TV show host in the White House. This man is unhinged. I think appeasing, fawning, trying to persuade him, I regret to say, I don't think it worked. And I think you're going to have to stand up to him. We've got to work with our allies, as difficult as it is, and say no to Donald.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Back tomorrow morning from 7. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
The following is from TFL.
My name was Luna, like the moon. I was 2 days short of my 17th birthday when I was killed. My killer wasn't a bad man. He had a rescue dog called Frank and rang his mum every Sunday. He wasn't a speed freak. He just thought it was okay to go a few miles an hour over the limit. But that was enough to knock me off my bike and kill me.
Speeding injures or kills over 1,000 people in London every year. Slow down. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters.
Turn ordinary into the extraordinary every day with the Lexus LBX. Whilst most SUVs are big and brash, the LBX is quietly bold and confident. Refined luxury crafted into a compact SUV. The Lexus LBX. What car's best small SUV 2024 and 2025?
They say, go big or go home. But now you can go big at home with the Big Arch on delivery. That's right, the Big Arch is back and it's here to stay. Big Arch for big McDonald's hunger. Order in the McDonald's app. Serve from 11 a.m. 18 plus. Service fee and small order fee may apply. Upcharges apply to delivery orders. Subjects availability, price and participation may vary.
If you were missold a home on a holiday park, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive compensation. Text ADVICE to 78900.
It might be mid-winter, but there's nothing mid about this offer. The new Samsung Galaxy S25 Ultra brings every winter sport moment to life as crisp as freshly laid snow. With its stunning 6.9-inch dynamic AMOLED display, razor-sharp resolution. But here's the real win. Claim £250 cashback. Conveniently available to spend in your Samsung wallet. Purchase before January 29th from a participating retailer. Claim on the Samsung website within 30 days of purchase. T's and C's apply.
People ask me, what's my good place? Down the park, having fun with Toby, my cockapoo. And knowing that my pension with Pensionbee is managed by experienced money managers. So, not chasing the stick then, Toby? No.
At Pensionbee, we believe that when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. Download the app or go to pensionbee.com and be pension confident when investing your capital is at risk.
James O'Brien. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
It's 11:53. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. I think I may have a workable explanation of how dumping US government debt or selling bonds might impact upon the United States. $8 trillion worth Europe owns, I am told by a reliable correspondent who operates on Blue Sky under the name I'm Incorrigible. $8 trillion buckaroos in US, don't worry Keith, I said buckaroos, in US debt and equities. Dump it all and watch Trump's economy burn is the theory. And if you're going to fight back, you need to learn a new language. And that is the difficulty here, in that we still have normality or normalcy bias. We still think normality will be reimposed. If it isn't, what the hell are we going to do? And then you're going to have to learn about and do things that initially look bonkers, which is why this phone-in needed a presenter who was not being dismissive of other suggestions. And I wasn't that presenter yesterday. I hope I am being that presenter today. Because if you're literally admitting nobody really knows what to do, and you can't get on your high horse without providing any answers yourself about people trying to come up with their own ideas. Although I still don't think the golf courses was great. Boris in Luxembourg, however, talking about military bases, drawing upon things that he learned during his PhD at the London School of Economics, hit quite a lot of nails, I think, fairly squarely on various heads. But here we go. 11:54 is the time. John's in Reading. John, what do you reckon?
Hi, James. Are we having a nice weekend?
Weekday. It's Tuesday, mate. Carry on. We're all in the upside down now, man. Honestly, your brain's gone.
It is. Thinking about this subject. I've got a different scenario I want to run by you. We don't want to talk about Trump. What we want to talk about is the senators and the House Republicans, who are terrified at the moment of getting rid of Trump because it's going to affect them.
Yes.
If it was me personally, and I was talking to them individually, I'd say to them, after Trump is gone, we're still going to have this same reaction to you. And explain to them, the way you talk to us now is going to be the same way we're going to talk to you after Trump's gone. But just give them a get-out clause.
Give who a get-out clause, though? Because we've got Mike Johnson here. He's third in line. If anything happens to Trump and Vance, he's president. And he's absolutely all in on the Trump project, if you can even call it such a thing anymore. And we're kind of rolling out the red carpet for him today. So who are these? Where is the wedge that you think you could insert?
So where this is the best wedge that I can think of. It's what's the best way to describe this?
So
if you're Keir Starmer and you're Macron, and you're basically having a meeting out in the in public, and you say, "Doesn't Donald Trump look unwell?"
Yeah.
You put that into the public psyche. You say, "Doesn't Donald Trump look unwell? He's doing all these really mad, crazy things. He's acting really unwell." And you give them the get-out clause to basically say, "We're really concerned, and we think that you should." Well, he's got a lot on his plate at the moment with the Epstein files. He's got a lot of plate with basically these tariffs. And then he just looks really, really unwell. And then you've got all these Republicans, basically. You give them the excuse to basically get rid of him, because then they can go back to the constituency. Look, we think he's unwell. We don't think he should be in power at the moment. He's a very, very unwell man. And
you're testing me here. I did say a minute ago, it's very important that this particular part of the programme is not presented by somebody who pushes back somewhat aggressively at rubbish ideas. And you're really testing me here, John. You can't deal with Donald Trump by whispering about him being unwell.
You could.
You can't. I mean,
just think of this logically. You've got, and there has been plenty of reports of Republicans in public, in private, saying that they are.
Yeah, but what are we going to do to tempt them out? What is it that you think that Keir Starmer can do that's going to make this army of dissatisfied Republicans suddenly discover their courage?
Yeah, well, what you're saying is not just the French, not just the English, but all the European country.
So we get a big conference together. You've got Emmanuel Macron, you've got Chancellor Schultz, Keir Starmer, Chops Meloni, you've got all the rest of them, and they all stand on a platform and they say, we're very worried about Donald Trump's health. And then they just sit back and watch the entire administration crumble.
Yes.
Well, James, I wasn't expecting that, yes.
But James, think of this logically. If you think about this really logically.
Yes.
All right.
I am.
One of us is. Yeah. If you think about this logically, James, is that Donald Trump is acting like a sociopath at the moment, and everyone knows it. Everyone can see it. You've got him basically telling the Norwegian government basically about the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah.
You've got him blowing up random countries, basically Venezuela.
Yeah.
People know he's a sociopath.
Well, Dick Littlejohn thinks he's a genius. But anyway, carry on.
Yeah, but he's worried about money, and he's worried about basically his voter base and his reader base basically being going against him. That's a different subject.
Yes, it is.
What you need to basically say very simply to people is you just need to give them... It's like Boris Johnson, when we got rid of Boris Johnson. You just need to give people a get-out clause to get rid of someone who's very, very unpopular. Donald Trump, at the moment, in America, is going downhill. People know he's unpopular. People are desperate to get rid of him. He's going to bring the Republican Party, basically, to a massive loss at the next election. Every single poll has gone and shown that he's going to lose at next election. You're just giving the Republican Party... That one excuse to go, we're going to lose the next election. This is a perfect excuse to put the 25th Amendment in, and we can get rid of him.
Okay. Well, I mean, good luck with that. And I remind myself, not you, of my promise to acknowledge that nobody would be bullied or harangued or undermined or even mocked for offering up a substantive suggestion as to what could fill the vacuum we are currently contemplating when it comes to what it is we could do that might actually make a difference. It's coming up to 12 noon. You are listening to James O'Brien on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at midday, the government has approved controversial plans for a huge Chinese embassy in London. Concerns have been raised that the site is too close to infrastructure critical to the UK's economic and national security. The Liberal Democrats say allowing it to go ahead is Sir Keir Starmer's biggest mistake yet. The Conservative leader Kemi Badenoch has told LBC the deal is bad for the UK.
I don't think that super embassy is in British national interests. You look at the location, you look at some of the concerns that have come on the security side, and given many of the issues which we still have, cyber attacks, threats, spying, what Keir Starmer needs to do is stand up to China, go toe-to-toe with them. Instead, it looks like he's going there with a begging bowl. That worries me.
Security Minister Dan Jarvis is due to make a statement on the decision in the Commons this afternoon. We'll have all the reaction here on LBC. The President of the European Commission says the EU stands in full solidarity with Greenland. Ursula von der Leyen has promised a united response to Donald Trump's threat of tariffs for allies opposing his plan to take over the territory. She's been addressing the World Economic Forum in Davos.
We consider the people of the United States not just our allies, but our friends. And plunging us into a downward spiral would only aid the very adversaries we are both so committed to keeping out of the strategic landscape.
President Trump has criticised Britain's deal to cede the Chagos Islands to Mauritius, calling it an act of great stupidity. He suggested it strengthens his argument to take over Greenland on national security grounds. The leader of the Welsh Conservatives has said he sacked one of his shadow cabinet members for talking to Reform UK about defecting. Darren Millar says the Senate member James Evans had previously told him that he rejected an approach from the party. Prince Harry has returned to the High Court in London for the second day of his privacy trial against the publisher of the Daily Mail. He's among a number of high-profile figures who've accused Associated Newspapers of unlawful information gathering. The firm denies the claims. and water companies will be required to carry out MOTs on their infrastructure under plans for a new industry watchdog. The government has outlined powers which aim to prevent major failures like crumbling pipes. In this city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 were trading down 107 at 10,087. The pound buys $1.34 and a euro 14. LBC weather, cloudy with patchy rain for most, some widespread sunshine developing later, a high of 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
During the Air France rendezvous, take advantage of great offers. Until the 27th of January, book your flight to Dubai from £399 or Hong Kong from £589, from London Heathrow via Paris, return including tax. And from the 29th of March, you can reach Paris and beyond with our new flights from London Gatwick. Elegance is a journey. Air France. To book and for terms and conditions, visit airfrance.co.uk.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
So I've got lots of calls waiting, and I've also got a sense that it would sound a little bit silly for a couple of minutes to talk about anything else. But I've also got, we've done 5 hours straight on this now, haven't we? It was starting from 10 o'clock yesterday. Part of the problem I face at the moment is that the story I'm most drawn to is about David Beckham's son alienating himself from his family and cutting himself. So there's two stories at the moment in the news about children cutting themselves off from their parents. But one of them is Andrew Windsor's kid, so there's no story there. I mean, who wouldn't cut themselves off from a dad like that? Actually, that might be interesting. But I don't want tales of cutting yourself off from your own parents because, you know, they were best friends with Jeffrey Epstein. I do, however, quite like the idea of just having a slightly lighter conversation about the reality for non-famous people of cutting yourself off from your parents when they haven't done anything illegal or hideous. They've just really, really annoyed you. I think that has a feel. What I'm going to do is talk to Victoria in Barbados about treasury bonds, government bonds, because she is someone who feels she can help us understand the issue. And you are going to drop me a little text saying either yes or no in answer to the question, shall we move on to a conversation about family alienation via the Beckhams. I presume that the Victoria in Barbados is not qualified to comment on both of these stories because you're not that Victoria.
Am I here? Am I on?
Yes, but we're just clarifying that you're not Victoria Beckham.
No, I'm not that. I could easily jump into that conversation, but I won't.
Well, good for you. I know we like people who go bi-topical, but let us confine you instead to the reason why you rang into the program.
On the state of the bond. Love your work. Love your work and everything. But yeah, my whole working career has been as a career bond dealer, bond trader, and fixed income portfolio manager, including 3 years spent working in the City of London for a global insurance company managing global bond portfolios. So I have a significant experience in global bonds and fixed income. I'm a nerdy kind of person in that way.
Excellent.
But I'm Australian. I'm actually Australian, but I'm in Barbados at the moment. So what the critical thing about the bond market that people don't necessarily, everyone focuses on the stock market, but it's the bond market that's critical to the economy. Stock market, stock prices, companies can still operate when their stocks are trading almost at zero. When the bond market moves, like we saw in the GFC, that was the big, you know, for the bond market.
You're going to have to slow down. I don't know what time it is in Barbados, but this is my, it's my show. This isn't like other radio shows. You can have 2 hours if you want. Well, you can have 40 minutes. So there's absolutely no rush. I want you to pretend that you're talking to an idiot.
All right. Well, I don't think you are, but I'll pretend you are.
That's very kind.
Most people to me are idiots. I do like your idiot's corner, but I don't want to end up there myself. So the bond market is critical to the running of the economy, more so than the stock market. That's the first thing.
Yes.
The bond market, the US Treasury market is huge. Now, we all know about the amount of debt that the US currently has in terms of already outstanding debt.
No, we don't, you see. I knew this was going to happen.
Well, it's trillions. I mean, they talk about the tariffs and how the so-called tariffs tariffs were going to help them pay down their debt, because the so-called deficit, the fiscal deficit, instead of Trump or the Republicans coming into power and reducing the size of the fiscal deficit, there's been a lot of money spent, I guess. And one of the reasons, I mean, one of the things, I guess, the side effects of having the tariffs is by increasing that tax intake from tariffs, that is also going into the Treasury coffers to help them manage their debt profile, because they have a very significant, I don't know the number off the top of my head, I could find it probably, but believe me, the US, not only the US, other countries as well, but the US is a particularly large deficit and right. outstanding debt to GDP. So they have to borrow money, and the US bond, the US Treasury market, or the US Treasury, they come to the market every week and issue billions or raise billions from institutional investors and central banks and other investors around the world to fund that deficit, that ongoing borrowing need that they have. Now, these numbers are huge. They issue all maturities. I mean, everyone focuses on what the Federal Reserve is doing with the so-called Fed funds rate. That's not really what
you keep using the word. You keep using the word "everyone" in the most inappropriate way.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Right, I'm going to nudge you to the question that needs answering. If we in the UK, where we have, I think, yes. $8 trillion, or Europe, I beg your pardon, owns $8 trillion in US debt yes. and equities, how feasible is it that we could use that to hurt the United States, and how would we go about doing that if it is feasible?
What needs to happen, and what I think may happen, and a little bit already, I did send a chart through onto your on WhatsApp feed, but you don't necessarily need to sell. I mean, selling those, because you've got to remember, these bonds that are held, they're backing US, UK pension funds,
yes,
insurance balance sheets,
right,
capital that's banks that are holding, they need it for capital purposes. So these investments are not really sort of discretionary. I'm sure the Bank of England as well, in terms of managing, you know, monetary policy and reserves. So these treasury bonds, usually it's China that's seen as being the big threat to the treasury market, because China is a particularly large funder of the US deficit. But the UK, obviously, if you do the numbers and people are doing those numbers, there are significant, and Australia would be the same as that. In fact, there would not be an institutional investor, whether it be an insurance company, a pension fund, or a bank, that does not hold US Treasury bonds. They are the absolute gold standard of an investment portfolio.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, so what can happen? It's not even the fact you have to sell the bonds. It's the fear of someone selling the bonds, right,
mm-hmm.
that can cause the market, and the so-called bond vigilantes, of which I am a card-carrying member, I suppose, from way back in the day.
Yes.
But the bond market, if the bond market gets frightened, worried, risk appetite for bonds falls, then the price of bonds will fall and the yield will rise, because in the bond, its yield is inverse to the price.
Yeah.
Okay, so when we see bond yields rise, it means that the price, the value of those bonds is falling.
I feel twice now. Yeah. With the last caller and with you, that when I said you could have all the time you wanted, it wasn't a figure of speech exactly, but I've still got no idea whether or not we can use bonds to hurt Donald Trump.
Well, you can by right. talking about it, even by
right.
people talking about it, James.
Okay,
yes,
got it.
Creating fear in the market, where the market starts to sell off. And because that has implications for the US economy, the real economy in the US, more so than a sell-off in the equity market, okay? Because
yes.
if you think about the bond market, not only the US government needs to access that bond market every day almost issue to raise debt, there's companies every day in the credit markets, in the corporate debt markets, that need to come to the market to raise debt. We saw in the GFC, I mean, it's a long time ago, but where companies could not borrow money, the banks could not borrow money. The governments had to come in the UK and in Europe, and governments had to guarantee the debt of corporate because they couldn't issue. The mortgage rates in Australia, in the US, are set off the Treasury bond yields, not the Fed funds rate. So if 30-year bond yields rise because the price is going down, the yield is going up, mortgage rates in the UK, in the US, will go up.
Right.
Now that affects Main Street, if
yes.
you know what I mean. Main Street. So if companies, whoever they may be, even big tech companies who come to the market and raise huge amount of debt because they need it to fund their ongoing businesses.
Yes.
If that market starts to seize up, the GFC was like Armageddon in terms of when the bond market froze. It was the bond market, not the equity market, that is a light credit, if you like, is the lifeblood of the economy. So if there is a significant, and it hasn't happened yet, in fact, the bond market has been almost asleep at the wheel, saying, you know, nothing, all the markets have been very stable, right? But Well, you've seen a little
so
bit.
So if I just for people, GFC is the great financial crash, right? So we're going back to 2008. Correct. So if I was a Churchillian figure deciding to marshal European forces in retaliation against the obvious acts of an enemy, what would I do? Because I've got a horrible feeling. I'm going to have to apologise to the bloke who said we should start a whispering campaign about Donald Trump's health, because you're essentially saying we should start some sort of whispering campaign about the bond markets.
Well, it is. I think, personally, as a long-time investor or manager, global and professional manager, I'm surprised that the market is so sanguine.
That they're not already more spooked by Donald Trump's instability.
Exactly.
Because how can you be treating a US bond as a stable, for want of a better word, currency, or a stable concept, when the president is as mad as a box of frogs?
If you've got people not wanting to travel, Jamie, if people don't want to travel, apparently, we believe, don't want to travel to the US, why would they want to be holding bags and bags of US dollars?
So the value of that bond is dependent upon the stability and the health of the US economy. Are surprised that things haven't already started wobbling, given how unstable everything else about the United States is?
I am surprised that the bond market's been so calm. 10-year bond yields sitting around sort of 4.19, but they've started to rise a little bit. So I'm watching the bond market with interest. Then it can have implications for the dollar. But the bond market is the lifeblood of the economy, not just the US economy. And if bond yields, and it doesn't really require anyone to liquidate bonds, it just requires the fear of liquidation, where people will start
which is a bit like what happened to Liz Truss.
Yes, 100%. Yes.
I've understood some of what you've said. It's an absolute miracle.
That's it.
You're amazing. What are you going to do for the rest of the day in Barbados?
A big day of sourdough bread baking, and then maybe go for a swim, catching up with someone for a coffee.
Life is good.
Very good timing, because I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, I make a pot of coffee, and I listen to you for 3 hours.
I don't want you to take this the wrong way, Victoria, but how many spoons of coffee did you put in your pot this morning?
5 spoons of coffee. No, this is me. You've got me on a quiet day. This is me on slow.
I guess I'm going to give you one of these just because I want to. There we go. Beautifully done. Sensational. And that's it now. I mean, the rest of the day is your oyster. Thank you, Victoria. I understood much of that. Much is a great word. If I was Donald Trump, it's a great word. Much. It's a great word. Because it can mean a lot and it can mean a little. I understood much of... I don't sound anything like him, honestly. It's pathetic.
This is LBC.
If you were missold a home on a holiday park, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive compensation. Text ADVICE to 78900.
With Lidl Plus, you can hit your January health goals with 20% off all grapes and up to 20% off selected gut health products, including your favourite brands like Actimel and Activia. Open the Lidl Plus app to start saving. Lidl, more to value. Limited offer while stocks last. Lidl Plus T's and C's apply. 18 plus GB only. Offer ends 28th of the 1st. Calcium contributes to the normal function of digestive enzymes.
That quiet moment behind the wheel. The perfect space to get your thoughts in order. With the stylish HRV Hybrid, you get the head-turning design you want with the space and flexibility you actually need. Because every journey matters. Explore the full Honda range online at honda.co.uk. Honda, the power of dreams.
Go on, leave the never-ending laundry pile, quiet flat, and empty fridge at home. Hop on the train and go into the workplace zone with Southeastern. Whether you're heading in for a change of scene, to share ideas, or enjoy a lunchtime chat with your colleagues, with our great range of tickets, we've got the one to suit your commute. Buy yours now on our app or website and pay no booking fees. So, go on, go in.
Southeastern. Here's Alex, turning at a junction. Alex cooks a mean Jalfrezi. And here's Sue, waiting to cross the road, off to get a takeaway.
Mm-hmm.
Sue's a curry fan, but she can't cook for toffee. Alex, let's give way to Sue. Because pedestrians crossing or waiting to cross have priority at junctions, whether they can cook or not. Whoever you meet, travel like you know them.
Thanks.
Think. Follow the highway code and let's help keep everyone safe. The highway code rules in Northern Ireland may vary.
This is LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 60 60 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
12:17 is the time. I you know what? If I didn't have to talk to you for another 40 minutes, I'd probably go and have a lie down after that and allow myself some time to let the information percolate. See what I did there through my brain. It's pretty close on the vote. I'm not going to pretend it was 52-48. Yes, I am. It was 52-48, would you believe? The infernal ratio in favour of us changing the subject, not least because we will be probably returning to this territory, or certainly very adjacent territory, tomorrow. So I do want to move on to completely different grounds now. I'm not going to embarrass anybody by telling you who was very excited by this story in my world, either personal or professional or both. But people who I truly believe to be very bright, very savvy, very well informed, very intelligent, very erudite people with rich and fulfilling inner lives are absolutely fascinated by the tale of the Beckhams that is in the news today. I've gone through phases with regards to the Beckhams. I was the world's worst show business editor back when they were first becoming the brand that they are today. In fact, I met them for the first time when Victoria was about 8 months pregnant with the young man who would be Brooklyn Beckham, and who has now told the media, or now revealed or released a statement explaining why he wants nothing more to do with his parents for the foreseeable future, or indeed his entire family. It was quite sweet. I really like them both, by the way. Have I told you these stories before? I blew it. Absolutely blew it. About 6 months later, when I ran an article, how long after Brooklyn's birth did they get married? I ran an article on the wedding. The editor of the newspaper came over to me and said, God, that's a bit naff, isn't it, talking about the Beckham's wedding? And my instinct was to say, no, I think it's really sweet, actually. But I hadn't had a byline in the paper for a week or so, or for a couple of days. And they said, can you do me 500 words on what a naff wedding it was? And I said, yes. So I did that thing that I never do with you, in that I allowed myself to be inauthentic in a professional context. I wrote 500 words about how naff the wedding had been. I didn't really think it had been naff. They were very young and very in love, and you know, who's to decide what's naff and what isn't? But either the news editor or the editor wanted a quick piece on how naff the wedding had been, so I wrote it. And I went from being their favourite journalist to being persona non grata. At one point, I've no idea whether I'm allowed to tell you this, so if I'm not, please forget immediately. At one point, I was being lined up to ghostwrite his official, or his autobiography. His first, probably published 37 by now. I was being lined up, I was in the frame, I hadn't got over the line, but I was one of a few journalists being lined up to ghostwrite David Beckham's first autobiography. And I blew it all by writing a nasty little piece, a mealy-mouthed nasty little piece for the Daily Express about how naff their wedding had been. And, I mean, you'd think, and I don't know whether this particular anecdote or observation plays into some of the allegations now being levelled at Victoria Beckham by her oldest son, Brooklyn. You'd have thought she had better things to do on the morning after her wedding, but I took a phone call very early from her representative on Earth, her PR, expressing in no uncertain terms how absolutely livid she was about the admittedly horrible little piece I had written about her nuptials the previous day. I don't know what you were doing on your honeymoon, but I doubt you were reading the Daily Express, even if you were in it. I was the showbiz editor of the Daily Express when I went on my honeymoon, and I certainly didn't look at it for the entire 3 weeks that I was away. He's accused his parents, Brooklyn, and I just, look, before we wade into this, I would just remind you of one thing, and that is they are human beings. That's all. It's something I've forgotten occasionally in the past when talking about people in the public eye, talking about famous people. When you're doing it for a living on newspapers, you forget entirely and forever that they are human beings. You write about them as if they're chopped liver, as if they're commodities. And the only way in which some of the allegations being brought against the Daily Mail in the High Court this week, if they were to turn out to be true, the only way in which human beings can do that to other human beings is by forgetting that the other human beings are in fact human beings. You see them instead as, I don't know, kind of like creations. So you can only write this stuff, or you can only say this stuff sometimes about people when you forget that they're human, they're sons, they're daughters, they're mothers, they're fathers. But Brooklyn Beckham has accused his parents of behaviour so awful that he does not want to reconcile. So reports of a bitter feud, which you always take with a pinch of salt because you don't really know about anything. Even if you are the show business editor of a national newspaper, you've got no clue about what's really going on, but you've got to write 2,000 words on it for tomorrow's paper anyway. God, that was a million years ago. It really was, and I think you can probably tell I don't miss it. He is so unhappy with their behaviour, what he describes as their controlling behaviour. He's released a statement revealing that he does not want a reconciliation. And look, it's obviously sad, but some of the details are going to be pretty hard for his parents to challenge because some of the things he alleges allegedly took place in front of 500 people, most obviously at his wedding, where he claims he was, quotes, humiliated, end quotes, by his own mother, who danced, quotes, on, end quotes, him. She danced on him. I mean, listen, this would have been a very carefully worded and no doubt checked and edited and triple-checked statement, so it's not a typo or a mistake. His mother danced on him at his own wedding, in front of guests, which is what I mean about corroboration, prompting him to write yesterday, "I've never felt more uncomfortable or humiliated in my entire life." And this is a lad named after the borough of New York where he was conceived. So being embarrassed at the hands of his parents is arguably something that's happened since, well, since he was named. And on Christmas Eve, we know that the family, or the Victoria, was seeking some form of rapprochement or reconciliation. She posted lots of pictures of all her other children, but Brooklyn was not included. On the same day, he posted a picture holding his wife's hand, describing her as my everything. And reports suggest that they haven't spoken, the eldest son and the pair, mayor, have not spoken in 13 months. And this has got a sting. He wrote it on Instagram. "I have been silent for years and made every effort to keep these matters private. Unfortunately, my parents and their team have continued to go to the press, leaving me with no choice but to speak for myself and tell the truth about only some of the lies that have been printed." He claims that for his, quotes, entire life, his parents had, quotes, controlled narratives in the press about our family, the performative social media posts, family events and inauthentic relationships have been a fixture of the life I was born into. Recently, I have seen with my own eyes the lengths that they'll go through to place countless lies in the media, mostly at the expense of innocent people, to preserve their own facade. But I believe the truth always comes out. And it appears that reports about his wife's wedding dress were at the source of the original rift, with the received narrative being that his wife, Nicole Peltz, had somehow rejected an offer from his mother, Victoria Beckham, to provide a dress, whereas, according to Brooklyn Beckham, weeks before our big day, my parents repeatedly pressured and attempted to bribe me into signing away the rights to my name, I'm not quite sure what that means, which would have affected me, my wife, and our future children. They were adamant on me signing before my wedding date, because then the terms of the deal would be initiated. My holdout affected the payday, and they have never treated me the same since, with the suggestion being that his mother withdrew the making of Nicole Peltz's wedding dress at the 11th hour, in quotes, despite how excited she was to wear her design. So, as the formerly the world's worst show business editor, I think what is happening here is that Brooklyn Beckham is claiming that the entire narrative, it's a bit like, I don't know if you remember when Meghan Markle, as I think she then was accused of making Kate Middleton as she then wasn't, cry. And that got picked up by all the newspapers because they wanted to keep one side of that feud sweet. And it later emerged that it had actually been the other way round. So I think what Brooklyn Beckham is alleging here is that the narrative that got halfway around the world, or in fact all the way around the world, was that the bride had changed her mind about a dress that Victoria Beckham was designing for her at the last minute, whereas in fact, according to the groom, his mother withdrew the offer at the 11th hour and then got her version of events, her false version of events, onto the record, which tallies with his simultaneous... God, this is actually really interesting. I take it back. Which tallies with his simultaneous claim that the family, the parents, perhaps mum in particular, is absolutely obsessed with media coverage, with how the brand is perceived and how you know, the fame and the public versions of events as opposed perhaps to the actual truth. Which also tallies with my experience 30-odd years ago. No, 20, nearly 30, a long time ago, on the morning after their own wedding. But we'll probably park that there in terms of the interesting elements of this story. He complains about endless attacks from his parents and from his brothers, who he said went to attack him on social. It's very sad. This is what I meant about trying to remember that they're humans. He revealed that his own brothers had blocked him on social media last summer, and for good or for ill, these are kids who spend a lot of their life on social media. He's accused his mother of ruining his first dance with his bride at their wedding. Forgive me, I'm going to use the word juicy. My mum hijacked my first dance with my wife, which had been planned weeks in advance, to a romantic song. He said, Victoria danced, quotes, very inappropriately on me in front of everyone. And there's more. But what interests me, and this is why I make the point about them being human beings, is that this is horrible for everybody involved. But it's not something the lad would have done on a whim. It's been, apparently, you know, by one account, it's been 13 months in the making. By another, it's been his entire life. I know through second and third hand testimony what it's like to have a narcissistic parent. I don't think anybody's suggesting that either Victoria or David Beckham fall into that category. But in much the same way that absolute power can corrupt absolutely, you might argue that absolute fame can really buck you up. And that appears to be, calm down, Keith, everything's all right. That might well be what's happened here. Certainly back in the day when I was on this beat, the concern about coverage that Victoria displayed, even by the standards of, I don't know, fellow Spice Girls, was much, much higher than you'd expect. But again, if you're worried about being misrepresented in the media, why wouldn't you be watching everything very, very closely? What I want to ask you is why you... So in the absence of anything that is illegal or abusive, okay, so I obviously... If something horrible was done to you by your... I mean, something truly and criminally, contextually horrible. That's not a mystery. It's more an excess of normality. You know, my mum danced with me at my wedding in a really embarrassing way. But turn that up now to 11 in a sort of Spinal Tap sense. And it becomes a culmination of behaviours that just makes you decide one day, I'm going to be better off without you in my life. I want to know why you made that decision. And I maybe want to know what it's like the other way round, what it's like to have a child, for good reasons or bad, who just suddenly... It's so alien to the rest of us. It's so utterly at odds with our foundation stones of existence, really, family. I know you have feuds and I know you fall out, but not, and more likely with a sibling. To actually decide that you don't want your parents in your life anymore. What made you decide that? And you know, respectfully, nothing gross. That's a good word, right? If it's gross, then it's not a mystery. It's not interesting. It's just tragic. And I'm really sorry that you went through that, and I hope they rot in hell. But if it's within the parameters of normality, but just became too much for you to bear, I want you to tell me what happened. 03456. You've got to be quick, actually. Good God, it's 12:30 already. The number you need remains 03456060973. You're reading the Brooklyn Beckham story, and you're thinking, yeah, I get it. I know why he's done that. It's so mad. It never crosses your mind that you could do this, that you could cut your own parents out of your life. It never crosses your mind that you could do it until you actually do it. And I don't know if it's appropriate to ask if you've got any advice for the lad here, or indeed for his parents. But we begin by asking whether or not you have cut your own parents out of your life for reasons that are behavioural rather than criminal or gross. It's 12:32. Hit the numbers now. You will get through. Amelia Cox has your headlines.
The government has given controversial plans for a huge Chinese embassy in London the green light. Concerns have been raised about how close the site would be to critical infrastructure. The president of the European Commission has promised an unflinching and united response to Donald Trump over Greenland. The US president is threatening tariffs on NATO allies if they oppose his plans to take over the Danish territory. And the leader of the Welsh Conservatives has sacked one of his shadow cabinet members for talking to Reform UK about a possible defection. Darren Millar says Senate member James Evans had previously told him that he'd rejected an approach from the party. LBC weather generally dry and bright this afternoon with sunny spells for many. Heavy rain in southwest England, Wales and Northern Ireland will spread into central England later, a high of 10 degrees.
This is LBC.
Unfold a world of on-the-go entertainment with the Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 7. The massive 8-inch main screen means you'll see the bigger picture as every exciting moment unfolds. Share every highlight and keep the whole family entertained wherever you go. Buy yours now and claim £300 cashback. Conveniently available to spend in your Samsung wallet. Purchase before January 29th from a participating retailer. Claim on the Samsung website within 30 days of purchase. T's and C's apply.
If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, what you thought you were getting may not be what you ended up with. From unexpected site fee increases, running costs, a huge depreciation in value, many owners feel they've been missold. If you think this might be you, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive the compensation you're entitled to. Text ASSIST to 78900 to find out more. That's ASSIST to 78900.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
All right, resistance up. Let's climb.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, my knee's playing up again.
Have you ever had it looked at?
No, but I've been doing a few stretches.
When my shoulder went, Benenden Health got me expert help. Showed me exactly where I was going wrong.
30 seconds, people.
Press play on your health with physiotherapy and much more. All for less than £16 per person per month. Search Benenden Health. Fee review periodically. T's and C's apply. Qualifying periods apply for some services, including physio. UK only. Visit benenden.co.uk.
With Lidl Plus, you can hit your January health goals with 20% off all grapes and up to 20% off selected gut health products, including your favourite brands like Actimel and Activia. Open the Lidl Plus app to start saving. Lidl. More to value. Limited offer while stocks last. Lidl Plus T's and C's apply. 18 plus GB only. Offer ends 28th of the 1st. Calcium contributes to the normal function of digestive enzymes.
You're really building that business, Josh. That's because you chose to bank with Virgin Money, earning cash back on your supplies, turning expenses into rewards on everything from Sanders to skip hire. He came, he soared, he conquered. Open Virgin Money's M account for business now. UK excludes NI, Channel Islands and Isle of Man. 18 plus. Terms and exclusions apply. Cashback rate of 0.25% backed by the current account switch service. Virgin Money is a trading name of Clydesdale Bank PLC.
This is LBC. Message James O'Brien on WhatsApp now on 03456060973.
12:35 is the time. There's a lot more out of it than you might think. But before we get stuck into it, I do want to read you what Daniel Hannan... And you know, every time I think, I bet Boris Johnson put him in the Lords. It's my response to the worst people, the stupidest people, the wrongest people of the last 10 years in British life. My first response is, I bet Boris Johnson put them in the House of Lords. And if he didn't, I bet Kemi Badenoch did. Kemi Badenoch. I, you know, I've been calling her Kemi Badenoch for ages. I didn't know she doesn't like being called Cammy Badenoch. If I did know, I forgot. So I called Nigel Farage because he called himself Nigel Farage when he was at Dulwich Collage. You see what I did there? But a journalist on another radio station was asking Honest Bob Jenrick yesterday why he calls her Badenoch, given that he knows she prefers to be called Badenoch. And you realise he does it because it annoys her and he's being really petty. So I'm going to try to stop doing it. Not least because I don't want to have anything in common with Honest Bob Jenrick. So, Daniel Hannan, one of those people that if Boris Johnson didn't put in the House of Lords, Cammy Badenoch almost certainly did. This is what he had to say. You remember, he was the one who said that Brexit would be brilliant. No one was talking about leaving the single market. He claimed that he loved nothing more than a nice country walk through the English valleys and posted a picture of the English valleys as a consequence, and it turned out he got it off the internet and he wasn't on a walk at all. One of the strangest, wrongest, mean-minded men ever to be put into the House of Lords by Boris Johnson. Just think of the competition. This is what he wrote yesterday. And this is really interesting, because in the Daily Mail, you've got Dick Littlejohn writing about how Donald Trump is the best thing since sliced bread, and even if he isn't, I still prefer him to Keir Starmer or any other democratically elected UK Prime Minister. So the people who've bet the house on Trump and now realise how humiliating and shameful that decision was either create something so enormous, so enormously fraudulent that they can just cover up their own shame and humiliation, or they admit their mistake and try and ameliorate the shame and humiliation by pretending that it was an easy mistake to make. So on the one hand, you have Dick Littlejohn displaying all of the signs of shame and humiliation and an inability to recognise a mistake. And on the other, you've got Daniel Hannan showing all the signs of shame and humiliation, but admitting the mistake and trying to pretend that it was an easy mistake to make. So I want to read this to you. A lot of good people are on a hook over Donald Trump. They voted for him for understandable reasons. To stop Hillary of Kamala. I presume that's a typo, not a new character in the new Game of Thrones series. To stop Hillary or Kamala. To prevent court packing. No, me neither. To move the embassy to Jerusalem. Right, yeah, loads of people voted to Donald Trump for that. To reduce regulations. They rightly applauded his toughening of immigration policy. They began to feel invested in him. Sure, he was boorish and bombastic, and now you write your own list of all the other things he was. Producer's written on the screen, I thought we'd change topics. We did change topics. I just didn't want to go home without reading this out. Obviously, as I just explained to the people actually paying attention to the programme. Sure, he was boorish and bombastic. You need to buck up your ideas, the pair of you. But he was delivering most of what he was elected to do. Pardon? Naturally, they bridled at criticism from people they disliked, some of which was indeed absurd. So there it is. My support for Trump is all the fault of people who said that he was awful, says Daniel Hannan, who only discovered that Trump was awful yesterday. But he has plainly now lost his mind. Now? Now, Daniel? There is no other way of reading, I am going to threaten an ally with invasion because I didn't get the Nobel Peace Prize. Well, you clearly haven't read Dick Littlejohn in the Daily Mail. There is absolutely another way of reading that. It is impossible to exaggerate how high the stakes are. I agree. If Putin had put an agent in the White House, what would he be doing differently? I agree. But you need to ask that question from the beginning of the first term and make a long list of the things that Donald Trump would have done differently, or rather that an agent of Putin in the White House would have done differently from what Donald Trump did. Spoiler alert, it's a very short list. Spoiler alert two, it's a blank sheet of paper. Why we are talking about the survival of the Western way of life, about the world order of which the United States is the chief exemplar and beneficiary, that surely matters more than, quotes, liberal tears, end quotes, which is a tragic admission that was all he ever really got out of his support for Donald Trump. Doesn't it? He asks. Because if it doesn't, we are all damned. So there it is. Those are your two responses to the epic shame and humiliation of thinking that the people who supported Donald Trump were on the right side of history and the people who could see that he was wrong were somehow deranged. Anyway, Michael in Manchester, back to Brooklyn Beckham. Tell me, if you can, about why this story resonates with you.
First time speaking with you, James.
Gosh.
I'm a little bit nervous.
It's only me. It's only me. Welcome aboard.
Thanks. This is kind of a bit ongoing and raw with me, so I'm also a bit nervous because of that. I am estranged, I guess if you call it, you can call it, from my parents through my own choice since October 24, I think, so a year and a half or so. I have a 2.5-year-old daughter, which is obviously their granddaughter, their second granddaughter. They also have a 10-year-old granddaughter, my niece. My sister is also estranged from them for the same reasons that I am. So both of their granddaughters are not in their lives at the moment, which is sad. I would love nothing more than my parents to be in my life if things were different, and for my daughter to have her grandparents as well. But this kind of came, I might need some guidance through this from you. It's a bit, like I say, raw. But it basically comes down to, and this is a bit of a hot topic, it's people would say, and they say, that it's because of their politics and their political views.
Okay.
I'm sure you can imagine where I'm going with this. It started kind of Brexit.
One of you is either a Nigel Farage fan or a Tommy Ten Names fan. It's either you or your parents. And I'm going to guess if you phoned me, it's probably them.
I was actually speaking to the producer saying that I was worried about maybe thinking about changing my name or my location, and then realised there's no way they're listening to your show right now, so I think we're safe.
But you say that. I have quite an oddly committed following among people who despise every fibre of my being, Michael, but you'd know if they were in that group. And again, I presume it's the serial criminal who calls himself Tommy Robinson that has attracted their support rather than...
Yeah, so that was the kind of the tipping point, the final line. That's when I say about October, that was the first march in London.
What have you said to them? And they went to it, did they?
Yes, so they're based in Northwest Cumbria in Carlisle. They got the train all the way past Manchester, where I live, and instead of coming to see me and their granddaughter, they carried on to London to attend this rally. We'd had big discussions at this point before then, saying that I was not only worried about the politics of it, but worried about their safety. They're in their 70s, late 60s, 70s now. It's a big march, a lot of people, obviously police presence. You can't just stop and sit down on a nice wooden bench and have a cup of coffee if you're in the middle of tens or hundreds of thousands of people, or millions if you believe their numbers.
Sure. I understand your concern. Kind of started, it passed off quite peacefully, but there were obviously, his circle contains plenty of, his own various convictions for violence could have set the tone for what the day would actually be like. Why can't you agree not to talk about politics? I mean, I'm not sure I could in the same circumstances, I just wonder what went wrong with that possibility.
Yeah, so we tried that for a while. Obviously, that was happening for a while. There's been some other things. There was some little... I mean, there's a lot that's happened in that time and before. And I, as you can imagine, second-guess myself, constantly ask myself if I've made the right decision, still making the right decision. And the one thing that I kind of go back to, the one marker that I have... I always keep at the forefront of my mind so that I don't always have to think about all of the other stuff that's gone on, is when they visited me in Manchester, and my dad made a comment about two women wearing a niqab, pushing their kids in prams with their little toddlers, causing no one any harm, and he just came out with, it should be illegal, they shouldn't be allowed to wear those, and then have since said that it's not compatible, they're not compatible with the West, their religion isn't compatible with the West, and that we're the infidel, and all these lines that...
And those kids could be at kindergarten with your kids, of course, you know.
Exactly. And also I said, if anybody was scared in the situation, you should have overheard, if those women had overheard you, who do you think is going to be the most scared? Are you more scared of them, or are they more scared of a 21-stone, 6-foot-4 white man?
What did he say to that?
What
did he say to that?
Nothing. Just realised that he shouldn't have said, because my anger was... One, that's a horrible thing to think, and then second of all, why are you so stupid to say it to me? Like, go back home, say it to each other in your echo chamber, on Facebook, on your groups or whatever.
Don't bring it out into the real world, which is of course what that march was all about, and what the tatty flags on lamppost campaign was all about, was trying to somehow bring the toxic racism and hatred of Elon Musk's social media platform out onto our actual streets. And was there a moment? Was that the point? Because you talked to your wife about it, you probably talked to your sister, and or was it a sort of boiled frog? Was it incremental? There must have been a moment where you cut the umbilical, as it were.
Yeah, so that was kind of the main thing. It wasn't a threat, but if you go to this thing, your actions, we think it will have consequences. We're not sure how we feel about our daughters being around you, that kind of thing. Yeah, and I mean, I'm in a different situation. My niece is 10. She knows them, has had a relationship with them, whereas my daughter pretty much forgot them after she was one, around one at the time, so kind of forgot about them, doesn't even really know they exist now. And again, this is the difficult thing about making a step forward. What is that? What does a step forward look like? Because as soon as I do, even a FaceTime call, which keeps her safe, she then starts to know who her nana and granddad are again. And then I have to make, if something, it's difficult to say now what is going to happen in the future. And if something else does happen, again, if they cross a line that I think is now unacceptable again, I have to pull back again. I have to explain to my daughter why she can't see her grandma and nana.
It's funny, isn't it? Because people who are hearing this and who know that they're closer to your parents than they are to you will pretend that you're not talking to your parents because of their politics. They'll say it's their politics, but it's because of their vile hatred of entirely innocent human beings that you don't want your daughter to be exposed to.
100%. And I say this to them
all the time. That's not politics. That's exactly what they say. That's not politics. That's humanity.
I said it's values, and my values, the irony is that the values that I am using against them now to what they say is cancel them, they use those words, by the way, and keep them away from my daughter, is that they're the values that they gave me.
And really? So they've been on a real quotes journey, end quotes, themselves? So,
yeah, I mean, to speak, I mean, obviously...
Daily Mail, political, but, Twitter, online,
Facebook.
Facebook, it's always Facebook, isn't it?
Facebook, yeah, definitely. And, I mean, it went from... My dad used to be a Labour. I remember we used to go around with him, flyering for Labour, big Labour supporter. I only found out during these chats, because we did kind of keep politics out of our family life, that he recently went, well, quite a while ago, went to Tory.
Yeah. Well, that you can't. I don't think you can cut your parents out of your life for being conservative.
No.
But for going on little Tommy Ten Names March, then, and also what they've done ultimately is you've prioritised your humanity and your care for your daughter over your contact with them. They've prioritised their hatred of the other, of entirely innocent people, including children that you literally bumped into on the streets of Manchester. They've prioritised their hatred of completely innocent strangers over their love for you and your sister.
Yep, exactly. I mean, it's at the point, it's so messy now, it's at the point they've tried to, I tried mediation with them, a private mediation, but then he has tried mediation through a court-appointed mediator.
Wow.
Because he thinks that he will have a legal right. My sister kind of came out of that mediation with a bit of a monthly meeting.
So he wants to be in their children's life, but not enough to give his head a wobble.
Yeah, and because we're not supposed to tell him, we can't tell him who to support politically. In fact, they did consider not going to the march the year and a half ago in October, and then they realised, they actually told me this now, that they realised that actually it's even more important to go now because people are trying, this will happen, people will try to make you stop going and use things, hold things against you, like not seeing, cancelling you or holding your granddaughter.
I really am. And obviously, it's easy to sit on the outside wishing that things had gone differently. I guess the only thing I can wish is that you'd managed to silo his hatreds, their hatreds. Is your mum fully on board with it, or is she keeping him sweet?
Says not, but then came they turned up unannounced at my door at Christmas with a present for my daughter and a Christmas cake, as if they were expecting some kind of Christmas miracle.
Yeah.
And then I kind of said, look, this is the situation. This is where I stand still. Nothing's changed. I can't just overlook that because of the time of year. And then I kind of tried to start explaining again, how can you hate these people? How can you say you love my daughter and other like people that you'll be in school with if you hate these general group of people who you don't even know, who generally don't affect your life in Carlisle, in Cumbria either? And she said, oh, well, and she mentioned the thing about that they're raping our women and, you know, back to the immigration thing. Immigrants are all criminals and they're coming over illegally on the boat.
She's familiar with Tommy Robinson's criminal record, is she, herself?
Whenever I try to have this conversation, it's just, oh, you believe that. You believe, oh, absolutely, of course you believe that. Of course you believe it. Yeah,
I think people don't actually know what it's like to deal with the radicalised, but you've just given us a really good description. Radicalised by Facebook, driven by hatred, alienated from people they clearly love on one level, but their hatred is to them more precious than their love. That's heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking. I'm sorry, Michael, that you're going through that, because it's horrible for you, even as you know that you're doing what's best for your daughter and what's best for your family. It's a horrible thing to go through. I can hear the pain in your voice. Wow. Rather more serious situation, you could argue, than Brooklyn Beckham's.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Sheila Fogarty.
President Trump insists he'll take Greenland no matter what the EU says. The EU says it will not flinch. And the sad story of the Beckhams and their son Brooklyn.
Sheila Fogarty at 1. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
This is what award-winning customer service sounds like from real Octopus Energy calls.
Octopus are an absolute breath of fresh air.
The customer service is really good.
People like yourself and all of your colleagues have done such a wonderful job.
Your customer service was tip-top. You know, I couldn't fault it.
You've stepped it up, I think, for an energy company, so well done.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running.
And when teams feel supported, they can achieve anything.
Sorry, just had even more of my team are off ill.
Have you tried Benenden Health? It's easy to set up. They've got a GP helpline you can book 24/7.
Where were we?
A coffee break, hopefully.
Press play on your people's health with a wide range of healthcare services for less than £16 per employee per month. Search Benenden for Business. Fee reviewed periodically. T's and C's apply. Qualifying periods apply for some services. UK only. Visit benenden.co.uk.
High-pressure sales tactics, huge site fee increases and a loss of value have left many holiday park homeowners feeling misled, angry and trapped. The Holiday Park Advice Centre can help claim back any money you're owed. Text ADVICE to 78900.
Hello, Holiday Park Advice Centre.
That's ADVICE to 78900.
During the Air France Rendezvous, take advantage of great offers.
Whoa.
Until the 27th of January, book your flight to Dubai from £399 or Hong Kong from £589 from London Heathrow via Paris, return including tax. And from the 29th of March, you can reach Paris and beyond with our new flights from London Gatwick.
Elegance is a journey. Air France.
To book and for terms and conditions, visit airfrance.co.uk.
There's one green bottle sat on my fridge shelf. This green and white bottle that supports my gut health. Beautiful by nature and beautiful by name. It's the tastiest way to up my gut health game.
Beautiful Gut Health. Upgrade your yogurt to the UK's number one kefir and reset your gut health with Beautiful. Kefir is a source of calcium which contributes to the normal function of digestive enzymes. For verification of UK's number one kefir, see biotifulgutthealth.com/radio.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running. Octopus Energy.
Leading Britain's conversation. LBC with James O'Brien.
53 is the number that you... Well, it's not. That's the time. The number that you need is 03456060973. That's what happens when I get towards the end of the programme and my little reflexes are merging into one. Let's just get on with the calls. It's about making a decision to cut your parents out of your life without there having been anything truly gross or hideous. So, I mean, Michael's call, incredibly poignant. Although it will be very confusing to people who aren't repulsed by racism. They will struggle to understand how anybody could decide that their parents' hatreds would be so toxic and so unpleasant that you would not want them in your life at all. Most people find that very easy to understand, but people minded to hate in the way that his parents have been taught to hate by Facebook and others, they will struggle with that. I mean, how much do you love your grandchildren? More or less than you loved your racism? More, James. Okay, well, then you can't be in my life. How much do you love your grandchildren? More or less than you love your racism? Oh, less, obviously. I obviously love my grandchildren more. Can you help me with the racism? Yeah, I can. There's a book you could read. There's a bloke you could listen to on the radio. There's some facts that you could avail yourself of. Give him a ring if you want. He'll talk you through it. He'll get you to a better place. Leave your laptop under the sofa. Just don't go on the sites that are full of racist hatred. You'll be absolutely fine. Cut Elon Musk out of your life. Cut Nigel Farage out of your life, and we'll be all back round the Christmas table next year, celebrating the birth of a Middle Eastern refugee. Jasmine's in Winchester. Jasmine, what made you pick up the phone?
Hiya. Because I can kind of relate to Brooklyn, and I think similar to, I don't know, because obviously I'm not in his house, I don't know what happens around his parents and his family, but a lot of the stuff that are or have been spoken about kind of appears superficial. On the surface,
yeah,
But when you've actually experienced that, and I think it's quite interesting that you say things like, you know, you don't want it to be quite sinister and obvious crime, but there's something about having to pander to outside stimulant.
Yeah, no, I think I get it. I understand his position. No, I just don't. I don't know what the other side would say, but I certainly don't think he's overreacting or being silly. And this is his truth. This is his. Yeah. This is what happened. And some of the actual specific examples, if the truth about the wedding dress saga has been misrepresented to the entire world, that's your meta example. And then your micro example would be the dance at the wedding, which sounds pretty hideous, however you cut it. Then I actually get it, but it's more. Yeah. They're manipulating his truth. They're misrepresenting his reality to the whole world. It doesn't matter how big that world is, but in his case, it's actually the whole world.
No, absolutely. And I think I have a similar experience with that. And what led me to kind of end my relationship with my parent was similar to Brooklyn's. Again, on the surface, sounds stupid. It's almost the straw that broke the camel's back. And for me, I think one of the biggest things is that painting that narrative of, you know, me being a nasty person or me being some way in order to kind of frame me to be, do you know what I mean? Like, as in frame me to be something that's not honestly me. So my example would be, I ended my relationship with my parents, because while I was getting married, I was getting married in a small, very small, registry office. So a certain number of people could only come.
Yeah.
I asked my partner not to invite my parent not to invite their partner, because my other parent won't be able to come to that either. So just having representation on both sides.
Yes.
My parent decided that meant that I was such a nasty person that I don't consider them, that I had other people who I cared about more than them. And it turned into something bigger.
Well, it sounds like you're the parent. It sounds like you're the one doing the sort of compromising and negotiating and diplomacy and dealing, and that they're the ones that are behaving like a child. We're a bit short of time, and it's not a brilliant phone line, but I hope you feel that you got the central point across. I do remember, if you're sending in messages about Michael's story and his racist parents, I can see your history, Ray. I can click on your messages and see the other stuff that you send into the radio station. I know exactly who you are, mate. So, you know, you can't really claim that you're motivated by anything other than malice, hatred, bitterness and disappointment when you send several texts a day to LBC full of malice, hatred, bitterness and disappointment. But hey-ho. Maybe there's hope for you yet, because you're still listening. That's it from me for today. If you missed any of it, you can listen back on our free Global Player app or the LBC app, where you can stay up to date on the top stories and opinions. You can put your news categories in the order you want. You can pause and rewind live radio and listen to a range of podcasts, including James O'Brien Daily, the best bits from my LBC show every day. Full disclosure is back on Friday. It's a corker, actually. Download the official LBC app from your app store now. It's free. Absolutely free. Coming up at 4 on LBC, it's Tom Swarbrick, but now it's time for Sheila Fogarty.
Thanks very much, James. I'm going to talk at 3 about the Beckham feud. Been rumbling for some time, hasn't it? Obviously, we don't know their family life, and we shouldn't presume to say that we do. But has airing family disputes in public ever ended well? You think of the mega famous ones, Charles, Diana, Harry and Meghan, and now this. But does it ever end well? At 2... Listen to these words: complicit, supine, pathetic. It's what the Democrat Governor Gavin Newsom has said about EU leaders and Keir Starmer in their dealings with Donald Trump. And speaking of Donald Trump, it's a year of Trump unfettered. Who has he shown us he is? Who has he shown you who he is? Much needed disruptor of the status quo, or a destructive authoritarian?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 1 o'clock, the government has given China permission to build a huge new embassy in London, despite concerns over national security. The location of the site has been controversial because of its proximity to critical infrastructure. Reform UK has accused the government of cozying up to the Chinese Communist Party. Labour MP for Leeds Central and Headingley, Alex Sobel, has told LBC there is a lot we still need to find out about the plans.
For instance, are Chinese construction companies, Chinese
builders going to build this site, or are they going to be British construction companies, British builders? How much secrecy is going to be in that? Are we going to know what installations are going to be put into that basement in terms of potential for espionage? There are a whole range of unanswered questions even now, even with this announcement of the decision.
Security Minister Darren Jarvis is due to address the Commons shortly. The governor of California has told European leaders to grow a backbone over Donald Trump's threats over Greenland. Speaking in Davos, Democrat Gavin Newsom dismissed efforts to use diplomacy.
I can't take this complicity. People rolling over. I should have brought a bunch of knee pads for all the world leaders. I mean, handing out crowns and handing... I mean, this is pathetic. Nobel Prizes that are being given away. I mean, it's just pathetic.
The European Commission president has insisted they will take an unflinching and united front in response to plans by Donald Trump to take over the island. President Trump has criticised Britain's deal to cede the Chagos Islands to Mauritius, calling it an act of great stupidity. The government is now formally considering plans to ban social media for under-16s in the UK. Raising the digital age of consent is one of the options being put to a consultation. The leader of the Welsh Conservatives says he's sacked a member of his shadow cabinet for plotting to defect to Reform UK. Darren Millar says James Evans had previously told him he'd rejected an approach from the party. Mr Evans is yet to respond. And the rate of unemployment in the UK was unchanged in the 3 months to November at 5.1%. Annual wage growth slowed to 4.5%. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 94 points at 10,100. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.14. LBC weather, generally dry and bright this afternoon with sunny spells for many. Heavy rain in southwest England, Wales and Northern Ireland spreading into central England later, a high of 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Amelia Cox.
With Little Plus, you can hit your January health goals with 20% off all grapes and up to 20% off selected gut health products, including your favourite brands like Actimel and Activia. Open the Little Plus app to start saving. Little, more to value. Limited offer while stocks last. Little Plus T's and C's apply. 18 plus GB only. Offer ends 28th of the 1st. Calcium contributes to the normal function of digestive enzymes.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Sheila Fogarty.
Hello there, good afternoon to you. As ever, there's a great deal to talk about on the international front, but we should always remember, I suppose, that the international is also very much the local when it's serious enough. And I think we do live in rather serious times, don't we? The question today, or amongst the questions today that I'll be looking at, is the degree to which what's happening in Davos later this week, for example, and has been happening already over the situation in Greenland and the claims from the president, the degree to which it is really key for our nation as well, and certainly for our Prime Minister. And after two, you'll hear in full some more of those comments that you heard in the bulletin there from Gavin Newsom, the Governor of California, the Democratic Governor of California, laying into European leaders. There's no other way to describe what he was doing there in their response to Donald Trump. Donald Trump, for his part, has been very critical of the Chagos Islands decision by Keir Starmer, calling it an act of great stupidity. We'll talk more about all of that after two. But given that it's a year since Donald Trump took over for the second time, we've had a year, I suppose, of a rather different Donald Trump, haven't we? An unfettered Donald Trump. He took the time when he wasn't in power to set up a different kind of White House, and we've been seeing the fruits of that, however you regard the fruits of that. So a year on, he's shown us more, hasn't he? He's shown us more of who he is, what his approach is. What conclusions are you coming to? Because I think day by day we're all coming to multiple conclusions about multiple things. I, for example, think he's done some good things. I'm nervous about some of the statements that he's making internationally and some of the moves he's making internationally. But what do you think a year on? What's his game plan? Who is he? Is he the fascist that his worst critics say he is? Is he an authoritarian, a strong man, or is he the necessary disruptor that America needs and perhaps the world needs as well? This is Donald Trump speaking to reporters yesterday while boarding Air Force One.
Well, I don't think they're going to push back too much. Look, we have to have it. They have to have this done. They can't protect it. Denmark, they're wonderful people. And I know the leaders are very good people, but they don't even go there. And, you know, because the boat went there 500 years ago and then left, that doesn't give you title to property. So we'll be talking about it with the various people. I've done more for NATO than anybody else. I don't think you'd have NATO right now. I got them to go 5% and pay as opposed to 2% and not pay. I've done more than any other American president for NATO by far. And we'll see how that goes. But Greenland is very important.
Have you invited President Putin to be a member of the Board of Peace?
Yeah, he's been invited.
Any response to President Macron saying he will not join the Board of Peace?
Oh, did he say that? Well, yeah. Nobody wants him because he's going to be out of office very soon. So, you know, that's all right. What I'll do is if they feel like Costco, I'll put a 200% tariff on his wines and champagnes, and he'll join. But he doesn't have to join. If he said that, you're probably giving it to me a little bit differently. But if he actually did say that, but as you know, he's going to be out of office in a few months. I don't care about the Nobel Prize. First of all, a very fine woman felt that I deserved it and really wanted me to have the Nobel Prize, and I appreciate that. If anybody thinks that Norway doesn't control the Nobel Prize, they're just kidding. They have a board, but it's controlled by Norway, and I don't care what Norway says. But I really don't care about that. What I care about is saving lives. And I think I've saved tens of millions of lives. NATO's been warning Denmark for about 20 years now, longer than that, 25 years. They've been warning Denmark about the Russian threat. And it's not only Russia, it's also China. So we'll see what happens. But let's put it this way. It's going to be a very interesting Davos.
It certainly is going to be an interesting Davos. And I'll read some of the messages that various European leaders have been sending to Donald Trump and some of his reply as well a little later this hour. But I'm joined by Ronald Kessler, who's been with us on the programme before, journalist and author of The Trump White House, Changing the Rules of the Game. He's a personal friend of President Trump. Good afternoon to you, Mr. Kessler. Thanks for joining me.
Good to be with you.
So a year on, I said a moment ago, we've seen a rather more unfettered Donald Trump, perhaps, than we did first time around, a man who's built a team that's very much in his image. What has that produced in your view?
Well, I interviewed Norma Forderer, who was his top assistant for 26 years, and she said that Trump purposely makes outrageous statements and stirs things up to get attention and to give him more leverage. And that, in large part, is what I think you're seeing now. Now, if you look at the actual results, it's very positive. Under Biden, inflation was as high as 9%. Now it's down to 2.7%, in part because of Trump's policies opening up oil fields, for example. Got rid of the nuclear threat from Iran. What could be more important? $7 trillion he got rid of gender ideology, meaning,